Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Is she looking at me now?
No.
How about now? Is she looking over here now?
No.
What about now? Is she looking now?
No, she's not looking at you, dude. Will you quit asking me if she's looking at you? She hasn't looked at you. Wait, she just looked.
See what I'm saying, man?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ow! What the hell are you kicking me for? Fine, I'll ask her. You want me to ask her, ma'am? Where do the high school girls hang out around here?
Paul Perillo.
The scotch on the rocks. Please, any scotch will do. As long as it's not a blend, of course. Single malt. Glenlivet, Glenfiddich, perhaps, maybe a Glengow, any Glen.
And Andy?
Look, we're going to spend half the night looking for this one party, and you're going to say hey, it sucks, and we're all going to leave, stuff. And then we're going to go look for this other party. But all the parties and all the bars, they all suck. I spent half the night talking to some girl who's looking around the room to see if there's somebody else who's more important she should be talking to. And it's like I'm supposed to be all happy because she's wearing a backpack.
Andy Hart.
You know, and half of them are just nasty skanks who wouldn't be nothing except they're surrounded by a bunch of drunken, horny a**s. I'm not going to be one of those a**s.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
When you go up to talk to her, man, I don't want you to be the guy in the PG-13 movie everyone's really hoping makes it happen. I want you to be like the guy in the Rated R movie, you know? The guy you're not sure whether or not you like yet. You're not sure where he's coming from, okay? You're a bad man. You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. You're grown up. Yeah, dig that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
The world still is the same.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I'm hot. Got a hot mic.
Yeah, you sound terrible.
Boy, they got a new board in there. It's really beautiful. I don't know if it works.
The monkey behind it is still the same.
Hey, welcome to PFW in Progress. Paul and Andy are here. Eric's taking his day off. This is his day off where he, like, visits the wine vineyards in Rhode Island or something. But anyway.
Secaunet Vineyards. We've got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Wow, Mike's hot, really. Like
Paul's food. Hot. Paul's hot. All right. We're hot. But anyway.
Scrambling.
Lots of stuff going on here, and obviously the big news coming out this morning, nothing's official yet, but the Twitters are abuzz, and they're tweeting all about an
Careful.
Imminent, as Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald says, contract for Tom Brady. He's throwing out numbers like 3 years, $58 million. We don't know how much of that would be guaranteed, and it would take effect after this year. So if it's true, Brady is here for another 4 years minimum, including this year. We don't know if it's true. We don't know how accurate it is. But it seems that no one's shooting it down yet except for the fact that it's not done yet.
Right. There's a lot of smoke. There
yeah.
may not be a real fire yet, but it's smoldering.
But, you know, we'd be
Certainly
remiss.
Seems like it's
We'd be remiss if
imminent.
That's not what we led off with.
And Absolutely.
I think that's the hot topic here on the heels of the Darrell Revis contract.
It's Darrell Revis.
Who?
You heard me.
What?
And no. I think it's interesting you tie those two things together because in my mind, if these if this Brady one is accurate and the Revis one we saw, I think both teams won. I think both teams got good deals.
I know
for
you
the
keep
team.
You said that as soon as you saw the Brady numbers, but he's getting close to $20 million a year.
And we all thought it was going to at least start at $20 million a year and
yeah.
probably be for 5 or 6 years.
I thought 5 and 100 is. You know, you asked me a couple of weeks ago
right.
what I thought would be a fair, and I thought it was round numbers, obviously, but
right.
5 and 100. So
yeah.
so three. But, you know, less than 20 annually. I disagree with Andy a little bit. I don't think it was a huge huge beating from the team. I think it was.
Thank you for not using
well,
the words
key
I used
will,
off the air.
The key will be
yeah.
to find out how much of it is guaranteed.
See, I think that's irrelevant.
I think that's all that's
Because all along I assumed
but,
he was going to get 100 million, see, 50
I,
of which
I
thought he
was going to
get
50. More,
but I thought he was going to get 50
more,
or 60 guaranteed. So he's already well below the number I thought he was going to get guaranteed.
Over 5 years, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he's well below the number of guaranteed
yeah, but
money.
But if he gets 40 over 3 years,
That's not better than 60 over 5.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you know, it all comes – again, it's the percentage of the deal that's guaranteed
right.
is all that matters.
Exactly. I totally agree with you there. And that's,
oh,
and
I
that's
don't
where
agree
I
with
think
that.
I think the guaranteed money, not the percentage of guaranteed
because
money,
if you
the guaranteed money.
It's a $300 million deal and $100 million guaranteed. Well, that's only one-third guaranteed, but it's still $100
right.
million cash
okay,
in his
again,
pocket.
He jumps to...
No, but
know.
It's not about the...
It's what you just said.
That's
it's not
what
about
you said.
The percentage.
It's not about the percentage of guarantee. It's about the guarantee.
Well, you will also look at the average per year.
I look at the guarantee.
I look at the average per year, but I look at the guarantee as the most important. That's what you said that I agreed right. with, not the percentage of guarantee.
Okay.
And I think this is not going to compare, all. In my mind, in all likelihood, to whatever
but
Manning
in any
gets.
Regard, I think we all three can agree on this. Great to get it done now,
yes.
before the start of the season. I don't think it was going to be a problem. I don't think Brady mentally would have been affected by this. But at the same time, I think it's really, really good to have it done with before the season starts. Certainly seems like it's going to be. Again, it's not done, not official, but it looks like it's going that way. And that's, I think, the best case for Brady and for the Patriots.
And that ties us in. That's a segue to me to the other news of the last 24 hours. Randy Moss spoke, and I wonder if a Brady deal is done. If it's written down in the books, done, does it allow any leeway for Moss or Mankins or any of these other contract issues to be dealt with? I mean, because we've all said it's hard to do X, Y, and Z when you have Tom Brady that hanging over your
right.
head.
Well, Mankins is, again, that's somewhere off there. I don't know if that's repairable.
I don't either, but you never know.
The Moss one, though, isn't that more of a football decision at this point? You know
no,
what I mean?
No.
Like what he's got left and what he'd be willing to play for.
It's a football
because
projection, yes.
I think he's going to want to make top five receiver money.
Because he's
think,
been a top five receiver for every
so,
game he's played
but
here.
Are you willing to pay that after this year and for a couple more years after that?
Me,
not,
no.
Not me.
Well, that's the thing.
But
that's the problem.
He is in well within his rights to say,
right.
Since I've joined you, I've been one of the best five receivers in football.
Absolutely.
I still am.
His numbers are.
I deserve to be paid as such.
He's right. averaging a screw touchdown a game.
Yeah.
As a
screw
Patriot,
his
he averages
numbers.
A touchdown
that's all
a game.
Passed.
Right.
How about last week when we watched him on the practice
so
field?
If
we still think he's still physically
why,
the guy.
Then why aren't you willing to pay it?
I'm scared.
What are you scared of?
Having him for three more years at X million dollars.
I don't want him comfortable in his contract.
Yeah, he's in the tank. I mean, even last year, there were questions about his effort in the Panthers. You know, you
and if you
want to
forget about all of those sort of ambiguous sort of, you know, intangible things like his effort that you can't necessarily identify. At some point, Fred, with mid-30s receivers, it goes. And it usually goes in a hurry.
Yeah.
And Andy used the right word. I'm scared.
I would not want to be the
I'm
guy
scared.
On the Patriots end signing my name to that three-year, $35 million extension.
So the first thing I thought of this morning, first of all, I was shocked that he had talked to somebody.
Should I read the quotes? Or
Go ahead. Let's set the table with the quotes.
It's CBSSports.com exclusive interview. Our friend William Benditson. Paul is a big fan of his.
PFW favorite.
Outed him on the radio one day.
Billy Benditson.
Out him.
Come on a conference call.
That's him.
Or that. For that.
He outed himself.
He's a jumbo. He and I went to Tufts University. Yeah,
yeah
Bo's kicking butt again.
You know, get to
Here's what Moss had to say to William Benditson. When you have done so much and put so much work in, it kind of feels like I am not wanted, Moss told CBSSports.com. I'm taking that in stride and playing my final year out, and whatever the future holds is what it holds. But it is kind of a bad feeling not wanted. It is not like my production has gone down. I am speaking from an individual standpoint. I don't know about Tom's deal, Tom's or whoever else's contract. I'm a little older and understand the nature of the business. The older you get, the more your skills supposedly diminish. But I think I'm getting wiser in how to use my physical skills. That's the frustrating part, when you put so much heart and desire into things and you feel like you are not wanted.
All right, so I read
some music.
First of all, you know, we thought that he had come to peace with what was going to happen this year.
I got that if you want to. For comparison's purposes, February at Heath Evans charity softball game was when he first really talked about this.
Right.
I don't think they're going to extend my contract, Moss told reporters. I understand the beast, the nature of it. I think that just with what I think and what I know, I don't think they're going to re-sign me back. I have no idea what that means.
I think you didn't write that properly.
I think I cut and pasted it out of another paper. So after this season, if there is not a lockout, I'll be looking for a new team. I've got a lot of respect for the Patriots and what they did for me and my family. The only thing I can do is just play this year out and see what my future holds after that. Little different tone than I'm
a little
not
bit different. And I think that, you know, he sees the Revis thing and he sees all this stuff going around. And it's like, he couldn't help himself.
Maybe sees Brady's thing. Maybe he got wind of a Brady deal.
I don't know. First thing I think of this morning after I read that is, do you trade him right now for somebody on defense that can help you right out of the box?
Huh? Are we giving up on this year? Because if we're giving up on
this
year,
Right now for defensive help right now.
Are you giving up on the year? I need to know your main goal.
My question is, what's more important now? Somebody, a top-line defender, or Randy Moss to this team?
Okay, in 2010?
Well, this year.
Moss. And give me
I'm just asking.
Wait, what's your cutoff of top-line defender?
Well, I don't say they're going to get a Patrick Willis, but I think...
I'm taking that into consideration because you can't get... It's not a perfect world. You can't get Revis for him.
No, you can't get... But some team is thinking, boy, it would be great to have a top-line wide receiver.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
but the caliber
of defensive player... You know, might be better than what you have.
You can't get Larry Fitzgerald, but all of
a
sudden you can get Randy Moss.
There's going to be something that makes the defensive player not quite elite.
If you ask this,
age, contract, something, he has had a bad year last year.
Would you say the same thing about Randy Moss? There's something right now that makes him not quite elite?
No. Because
why wouldn't you make
that
trade?
Trading him for this year, and I think
this was last week,
poised for a big year.
My point is, if this was last week and you could make this deal with Revis, and the thing that Andy's talking about would be the contract, the thing that wrong, quote-unquote, with Revis would be he wants a new deal, I would have made that deal in a heartbeat. Because Darrell Revis can improve your defense immediately
for years to come. For years to come.
There's not a caliber player like that available in right now.
You don't think so on defense?
God, no.
Albert Haynesworth, he's available.
Who are you going to get? Who are you going to get that can discernibly improve your team?
Jared Allen.
He's not available.
How are you going to get him? I'm talking a trade.
But I'm saying he has to be available.
And they wouldn't trade him for Randy Moss for 1 year.
Yes, there's a lot of players in the league that I would make that trade for.
Yeah. DeMarcus
Jared Allen's DeMarcus Ware's another.
Well, right now, Randy Moss is not available either.
No, but I'm saying you broached the subject that perhaps he's disgruntled. Why not just trade him now? I would if the situation, if you could get Patrick Willis or Darrell Revis.
But the other team sees what you see.
I'm not saying you need to get a guy of that level.
Well, then I'm not trading him.
You just said Jared Allen.
Okay.
I'm not trading him unless I can get a truly elite player who will improve my defense.
Because your offense
now
goes from a sure thing to a huge question mark immediately.
Well, don't you think that there's one team out there with a defensive player that they're saying the kind of thinking the same thing? I'm not going to trade him unless I can get somebody of equal value for him, and they need more help on the offensive side of the ball.
No, but
I don't know.
I suppose it's possible, but I doubt you're going to get a player.
It would be
good enough
with a wart. There'd be some major wart.
I'd be surprised if
Randy Moss doesn't come without warts.
No, that's my point.
He wants a new deal.
For wart.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But right now,
So I don't want to add another wart to this defense.
My question to you is: do the Patriots need more help on offense now without a Randy Moss, or do they need more help on defense?
I don't know what this offense is without Randy Moss.
I personally would not like to see that.
I think you're tanking the season if you
Randy you're making your offense very, very average.
Even if you get DeMarcus Ware,
you still may be tanking
the season.
What happens if Moss continues to feel like no one wants him? I mean, now you've got a Randy Moss on your team and he's not.
Well, that's why
him.
I would consider it if I could get a truly elite player. But I don't think there are truly elite players available.
I would settle for less than a Revis or a Patrick Willis.
So give us an example.
But yeah,
I have to look at the rosters.
Your example was an elite player, Jared.
There's got to be starters on other teams that they have a little depth and they're willing to take a step back at that position for Randy Moss.
I would say
the Patriots would be saying on offense, we're willing to take a step back from Randy Moss at wide receiver because we've got, you know, Edelman and all these other guys for that help that we desperately need on defense.
Yeah, but I would only be willing to do that if I were Bill, if I was getting a guy that I truly thought could improve my team. And I'm guessing the players you're describing would not do that.
Okay.
They would be more of what you have.
And you have to be able to sell it as a long-term deal.
Right.
That
you're hoping that you can re-sign him.
We were going to lose Moss no matter what. It's like Seymour, so we took a little bit of a bite short.
Exactly. Seymour is the...
Yeah. But see, I don't...
And I wouldn't do that again.
Yeah, if somebody said...
I wouldn't do Moss right now for a first-rounder in 2012.
See, I wouldn't either, because now you're just hurting your team, period.
I'd consider it.
I think the more years you chop off of Tom Brady, the worse you're going to be.
That's true.
And that's what they're getting toward. Because if you take Moss away from that offense, I think the offense becomes thoroughly average.
But it also depends on what you believe the team is this year. If you believe they're a 7-9 team, you're not making the playoffs. Who cares?
Well, I don't think that Bill thinks there was.
I don't think any team believes that they are.
No one thinks that now. Everybody's full of hope. No one's played a game yet.
I'm just saying, if you don't believe you're a championship team.
Well, that's a moot point.
So you think they're a championship team?
A championship team.
I think they believe
or
that they're,
7-19.
Be
there's kind of a big gap in
yeah,
there.
You know what I mean.
That's what he does. There's no middle ground with him. It's unbelievable.
I think that Bill likes to feel like every year I have enough talent, I have the pieces in place here to be a playoff team.
Does he feel that right now?
I think he does.
Wow.
And I think that the way he operates is I want that to be the situation every year.
Sure.
I don't want to be up really high every, you know, and then suffer these big lows. I want to make sure I'm at a level that I feel like I can make the playoffs. And then if I do, I'll win my share of playoff games.
So let me just go to the last game this team. Like, do you believe, first of all,
do I think they're championship caliber right now? No.
Well, I'm just going back to the last time we saw them meet up with a playoff team.
Yeah, and I thought they were grossly overmatched.
I think there's an argument to be said. That game snowballed out of control.
No
sure,
question. They could have played 60 minutes immediately after that game, and it might have been a much different story.
There is a gap between those two teams. It wasn't,
but it wasn't,
like, yeah,
it wasn't a blowout.
Well,
game.
I even almost believe they could have been competitive for a victory.
I mean,
you had a quarterback who couldn't get out of his own way.
True.
And if you get him in a dogfight where he has to make throws, I'm not sure on that day he was capable
of making
throws.
You're right about
that. I said
that.
If they played 60 minutes right after that game, it might have been a whole different story.
The New England Patriots defense is worse right now than it was on that field in January.
They don't think so. Because they got rid of guys that were on the field last year.
Yeah, and they got rid of guys named Ty Warren and Lee Bodden that I think are important starters.
Yeah, those are injuries. But they're not
but
on this
defense.
That's
why you're worse.
I think they upgraded at safety, and they upgraded at cornerback, you know, with McCourty.
I continue to wonder how
we
Patrick
don't know.
Chung
wait
upgraded
a minute.
On
wait
the
a
parking
minute.
Lot.
Stop. They had Lee Bodden out there. They re-signed him, so they thought that much of him. He's gone, and now you think they upgraded?
From Will Hyde
you think
to McCourty?
No, they didn't update from Will Hyde to McCourty.
Well,
it's Bodden to McCourty.
They think they upgraded from
Bodden
Spikes
Butler.
To the Guyton. Guyton to Spikes, that's an upgrade.
Well, that's a different one. I'm talking about the cornerbacks. Bodden and Butler started your postseason game. It's now McCourty and Butler.
Right.
So you took Bodden out for McCourty, not for Will Hyde.
Well, the Bodden was an injury. But I think
I said
that's
your defense
why we think
right
the defense
now.
Isn't as good right now as it was at the end of last
year.
Yeah,
but that's not –
and I didn't think much of it at the end of last year.
As the team was assembled to go into the season, they believed it was going to be a better defense.
But we're talking
you
about.
You can't help with
it.
No, no, no. We're thinking about.
They hoped it would.
Right.
You
right. Of course they did.
But it's not going
it's
to be at the
right
start.
Now. They
the hit,
they
the past
thought
is
it was
the past. Move on. You brought up a trade that's today. Would you make a deal today? So you have to consider your team today.
Right now.
Right now. It does not include Bodden and Warren. That's not part of your team.
Yeah,
doesn't include
I understand
Baker.
That. So that's why
that's my question.
But
do you believe
also,
you're a championship?
But that's
contender?
Also why I thought even more so that the urgency is on defense because of losing Ty Warren and Lee Bodden.
Right.
No, but, listen. Your thought about trading Moss.
You're pulling the plug on your offense.
Well, are you?
Yes.
Well, I think that you're taking large steps to pull your plug on offense. Yeah, because I think that he makes contrary to a lot of other people's opinions, I think Moss makes the offense go. I think he opens up things for everybody else, not the other way around.
Yeah. And we've still seen him get behind guys in the preseason.
I just
Kevin
worry
Payne.
That.
And I don't mean that. I don't mean that about Brady. I mean about the receivers,
look,
the running game, and stuff like that.
If he hadn't said what he said this morning,
yesterday,
I wouldn't even be thinking of this. But the fact that he said this made me start thinking about it. Like,
it's not an outrageous thought. I don't think it's outrageous.
No,
it's a very similar situation to Seymour.
But he told us in February he was going to play football and not worry about.
Did
that
he mean
stuff.
To say it?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
No, I don't. I wasn't. I don't.
I'm... It's well. We should also talk about that because I think that's an element of the story.
What?
It's very odd. Randy Moss has not spoken one word throughout training camp. He talked at the end of minicamp, took three questions.
Four actually.
We suckered him into a follow up, but he has not spoken at all. Thursday night after the Giants game, a couple of us went up to him, and Tom Curran actually said, "Randy, we're going to get you tonight," and he said something along the lines of. I'll talk to you after week one, dog.
Right.
I think that's word for word what he said. It was close anyway. Basically,
homie
I'll talk
dog,
to you after the talk to you after the Bengals game, and that's when I'll make my thoughts known. So all of a sudden, Monday's open locker room. William Bennetson evidently went up to him and just asked him a question, and for whatever reason, he decided. Now we do this pretty much every day. Somebody goes up to Randy Moss every day. And asks
sure.
if he's going to talk. Because you have to.
Right.
Even though you know he's not going to. I used to do this with Corey Dillon all the time.
Right.
Corey, can I get you? Nope. Okay. And I would just keep walking. The funniest thing is, if he ever said yes, I wouldn't have had any questions even in my head.
Because you're so used to no.
Because right. I just felt like, as a reporter, you probably should check in with guys like that don't talk. Just in case that's the day they talk.
And William Bennetson
might have been what happened with William Bennetson. But why yesterday? Why did he decide yesterday?
I think the Revis talk. I think he started thinking about it, and it was just like, you know what?
Could it be Brady
I should
talk?
Be talking about this.
I think it could be Brady talk. I think maybe
he got rumblings that Brady was.
Maybe he took
the whole labor situation, which the Patriots have talked about a little bit in regards to Tom.
Right.
Maybe he says, okay, well, if they're comfortable enough to get Tom done now,
yeah. But I don't.
Maybe the gloves are off and we can get everybody going.
And you know this is true. The Patriots have never said that the reason we wouldn't sign Moss is because of labor.
Just Tom. He's the only guy they even mentioned
as
a factor about.
That's the only guy. Well, right.
It's the only guy they've ever mentioned. Even as it's not the reason either.
It's complicates things.
It's
complicated.
I don't believe the Patriots ever said they wouldn't sign Moss. Moss said the Patriots won't sign.
Right. Moss said they won't sign Moss. The Patriots haven't.
Discussion of not signing him.
That's why I thought it was. It's odd. It was odd that he said what he said in February. I thought. And this is even more strange to me.
Yeah.
And let's remember, he's also changed agents in the meantime.
That's a factor. Maybe.
There could be some advice, anything.
Look,
who knows?
If I'm his agent, I want to remind people that my client will probably be a free agent next year. There's no reason why we can't start talking now.
Yeah, but this goes down the road of unhappy now. Whereas in February it was, I'm going to be available. I think he actually said,
but he
31
still has
other teams start your bidding.
And he said in February, I'm going
to
do everything I can. I'm working hard. I plan on doing everything I can
now.
To win.
I'm frustrated now.
This would worry me.
He understood
that's why
the
I think
beast
Fred's
back
thought,
then.
But that's why I think Fred's thought is not outrageous.
Well, then pull the plug on the season. That's my thought.
Because, okay. But you might, but Andy, you might hold on to him and be pulling the plug on the season,
right.
too, if
I
he
agree.
Decides not to play.
I just think if we can't have the offense as a sure thing.
I'll argue against myself. The one leverage.
I'm the only one who can argue with myself.
But the leverage that the Patriots have on Moss is that it is a contract year, and he wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't buy that argument at all with this guy.
No.
See, the only thing is I've seen great
stuff on
the
practice
field. I think
he could do anything.
I think he's ready to put on a show.
But something,
Patriots be damned, I'll put on a show.
This is definitely devil's advocate. For him to say what he said yesterday would indicate to me that something has changed in his mind.
Maybe. Or maybe he just said something.
Yeah,
Maybe he didn't realize that he was really talking to the guy.
I
don't know. A lot of things could happen.
Sometimes you say words and then you read them in print and you go, huh. Frustrated looks a little differently when I read it in print.
But, you know, it is smart, though, because by just that couple sentences, he's rekindled the talk about his, you know, year next year. And that's not a bad thing for him.
51 seconds was the reported time.
He still has
time.
To perform this year, so I think that's a good thing
he
for the Patriots.
He spoke 51 seconds?
That's the number I saw. The interview, the interaction lasted 51 seconds.
Yeah, so, you know, that's pretty powerful to be able to do that. And,
an awful long call, 51 seconds.
All right, so webradio@patriots.com is the
you
email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Taking your calls and emails today. So we got Brady on the table.
Down.
Ian Rappaport says that's imminent, a 3-year deal at about $58 million. We have no confirmation of that.
Is it imminent or is it the word Eric used, which I believe was imminent?
It's imminent. That's Ian Rappaport. Other people are saying hold on, and they're trying to throw stones at Ian's report, but Ian never said it was done, and that's the only stone that I see being thrown that it's
Ian's
not
dad?
Done yet. Ian never said it was done to back him up a little bit here with all these other people
fact,
trying
he
to.
He said, I never said it was done.
Right, right. And, you know, I just don't think it's fair that all these other people are going to now take the story for their own. If this thing happens this week, Ian Rappaport had it first.
I agree.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, maybe.
If it's
Weren't
right.
Reports
if
that
he's
Dennis
right.
Callahan
yeah.
had it too?
If it gets
right.
done this week,
yeah.
he's the one that was
no,
on it
but
first.
I mean, if it's. Like 3 years and 58.
Yeah.
If it turns out to be a 6-year deal, he wasn't right.
Yeah. Fairly accurate. That's a good phrase. I was fairly accurate.
Well, but no, but you know, there's always details in these contracts.
He might lock down some more details that,
right.
you know,
right.
whatever.
But you know, if the only thing that
there's
people have against him right now that it's not done, he never said it was done.
Right.
So, and we're not saying it's done.
Hell no.
We don't know. And then, of course, the Randy Moss quotes we've talked about. There's a lot of other things we need to talk about
cuts.
Today.
We haven't even gotten into the
yeah.
cuts.
Eric Burgess. Cut.
First of all,
Sean Crable back. Who saw that coming?
not me.
You know, big weekend, one of the most brutal weekends in sports, cut down day for the Patriots and all the other teams in the NFL. Patriots got rid of like 20-some-odd guys. And I was a little bit surprised that guys like Sam Aiken, Eric Alexander, and Pierre Woods.
Derek Burgess.
Well, yeah, Burgess was a shock.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I'm talking about these special teams guys that we kind of counted on year after year, and now they're just all gone.
Aiken,
you know, and
Aiken,
I think
to me was the big one.
And I think one of the things that I think they did well this preseason was special teams. I was pretty happy.
Well, their
with,
returns were excellent.
Yeah,
their coverage,
let me ask you a question.
It was okay. Well, nothing. You know,
was what, money involved?
They did lay up a touchdown on a kickoff. You know that, right?
Were these contracts they weren't willing to guarantee for the year?
Perhaps. Maybe these guys will be back after the first game.
I mean, you have a lot of guys there making just south of $1 million.
They're all vested
like
veterans, right?
880s, a bunch of 880s.
Aiken, Alexander, Woods, and Burgess, all vested veterans,
and
right?
And Burgess is probably making more. But, I mean, you potentially chopped off $4 million, $5 million. I just wonder.
Yeah.
Money is an issue.
And,
Brady
and
is
why
an
don't
issue.
You elaborate on that? Because with a vested veteran, once he starts that first game, once he's on your roster during week one, his salary is guaranteed for the year, whether or not you cut him. Right?
Not accurate this year because there's different rules. Under and I actually heard Bill say,
two
weeks. Need to clear up, and it may be a quarter of a season.
You know what's funny about him?
God.
He seemed to not know.
He didn't know,
exactly.
And he said, we'll deal with that in a week or so. So I can't speak with any real information on that. It's an uncapped year difference. There is a change in the rule.
Okay, so we don't know if would
have had to guarantee some portion of a vested veteran's contract.
We do always appreciate when Fred makes us look really bad by bringing those things up, which he did on the television show that we are starting to tape a little bit.
What
on
happened?
Comcast. You brought up some kind of rule that I'm not sure we knew exactly what the stipulation
was.
I don't remember.
Sometimes when Fred
did you black
babbling,
out?
When he's supposedly wrapping up a segment and starts babbling,
I don't remember.
Listening.
It'll come to me when I watch the show.
You know, we spent the morning with Comcast Sports New England NNESSS. And that show will be on Comcast Thursday night at 7:30 and repeated at 9.
And I think that a lot of people can pick that up if you have, the satellite. You can. A lot of people I know out of the market get that Comcast network.
Yeah.
So
just look for CSSN and
you can let us know. It's a little bit of a different format for us, and I'm not sure we pulled it off. But
I think we nailed it.
I hope so.
I heard the producer, director, whatever he is.
Yeah, they liked it.
Home runs.
Corey Champagne.
Everybody still seems hot. Do I sound hot?
Yeah, the mics are kind of
hurting my ears. Give me a headache. Yeah. I wonder if it's giving our listeners a headache.
All right.
Your head so big.
So
no, it's your voice that's giving me a headache.
So those three guys I was surprised at, all three of them. And then you mentioned Burgess. To me, that was a shock. He comes in.
Sort of.
Starts right away.
Burgess was one of those
guys. And
then
you cut him.
You lost nothing.
Sucked.
Yeah. And then,
but we had that sucky guy penciled in as a starter.
That's
and
like
the question
how I feel
is,
about him.
We've said he sucked. Who's the guy that you said we can cut this guy because we have
Marcus
blank
Murrell from Jump Street?
Is it
Murrell? Going to be him? He was
or is it
rock.
Cunningham? I mean, how
I
would you
seen
know
Cunningham in a month?
I know. How would
I
you
assume
know?
That they're pretty high on Cunningham? But that's just an assumption. We haven't seen him
from what. But the one thing
we know
they
about
had
to like him to draft
is
him.
He's a professional who was going to be out there every week. He was healthy and out there. I
right.
didn't know that to be the case. For
he was
Cunningham.
A warm body.
Maybe they found out that he just wanted to skip camp and he had no personal issue.
Maybe.
I'm starting to think.
I'm
no,
just
no, no.
throwing it out there.
Hey.
I'm starting to think the lack of commitment from him might have been part of it.
Well, I got to tell you, the Giants game, if you watch those first two series of the Giants game, you don't see teams run wide with the amount of success the Giants had running right at Derek Burgess. I mean, he could not set the edge at all. I don't think he's even really given much of an effort. And I know I said this to you in the Atlanta game when he was out there. I said, my God, I was just focusing on Derek Burgess. And he was locking onto the guy blocking him, not fighting with him. It was just like he was content to just stand there and dance with him.
Well, there was
I don't know if it was effort. I don't know where his desire was.
To me, that's
I don't
no
know
different
what, I don't know what a personal
year.
Issue.
There was one,
the right
maybe his mind just isn't in
half.
The game anymore.
There was
I don't
one
know
out,
what it is.
There was one outside play that the Giants ran, and I looked, and I thought Mayo looked really flat-footed. And then after the game, somebody said, no, that wasn't Mayo's responsibility. That was Burgess. That's why Mayo looked that way, because he got caught flat-footed because he expected Burgess out there.
But what about the guy
the
who
screen
Bills?
Pass?
No, I don't know if
it was a little dump in the flat.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Mayo tried to run the guy down.
Yeah,
he,
yeah.
That's when I called him Patrick Willis, I think.
Yeah, he looked really
but
bad on that.
What about the guy that Bill said played that spot better than anyone? Like, that was literally the end of last season. That was last
I would like to ask Bill in a moment of straightforwardness why he said that and did he really mean and what did he really mean, you know?
Right.
You know,
because even if it was a certain role,
was that more for Burgess than anything else to pump him up a
I'm
little
sure
bit?
I'm sure it was. And I'm sure that he was tired of hearing the criticisms. I'm sure he was tired of hearing the criticism on his own part. He gave a third and a fifth for him.
Yeah,
that was a bad trade.
You know, it was a really bad trade. But, you
what
know,
the Jets got for a third and a fifth Cromartie and Holmes.
Yeah. You know, but I, you know, I heard them talking about that a little bit this morning on Dennis and Callahan. That, you know, Jerry was trying to make the point that you need to go out and get players and whatnot. And John Dennis was playing the role of Fred. Fred, by the way, never let us make fun of you anymore.
Yeah.
Because you're far more impartial and balanced than the guys that are on doing this for a living on the radio.
A lucrative radio career.
I mean, you know, wouldn't you rather have a bunch of young guys with, you know, cost certainty and this and that?
Oh,
I'm like,
God.
Really?
How about suck
that's
certain?
That's what we're looking for is cost certainty. We're not looking for talent. And then he goes, well, they made you know, Adalys Thomas and Derek Burgess, that they did what you wanted them to do, Jerry, and look what happened.
So you stop trying.
Right. And then, first of all, they went out and had to make the Derek Burgess trade because of their own ineptitude.
Right.
Because they didn't have enough players at that position because they haven't been able to restock the talent.
Second
number
of all,
one. Then
they failed
Jerry,
plenty of young players.
And Jerry rightly says, I noticed you left Randy Moss out of that equation and Wes Welker out of that equation. Those guys were acquired in trades.
But beyond that,
that cost you resources.
You're happy to go with the youth movement. Well, you're in this position because Sean Crable never developed.
Right.
You failed at the youth movement,
but that's
too,
my point.
Just
it's
like
your,
you failed
it,
at Adalys Thomas.
It's your commentary from a couple of weeks ago, and that's why you had to make the trade for Derek Burgess, and you ended up having to pay more than you probably wanted to because you were desperate. Guys like Sean Crable didn't pan out. And you know, other young guys that you took flyers on like Vince Redd, you know, one of those guys may have panned out, and you wouldn't have had to make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them did.
Mike and Tim in Baltimore are saying that Mike Reese is reporting that Tom Brady and Randy Moss went to dinner Monday night. What do you think they talked about? Well, we actually know where they went, we heard. They went up here to Skipjack's, from what we understand.
Well, we're actually going to say it.
Well, why not? I want to promote our restaurant here at Patriot Place.
Okay.
So they were in the mood for some seafood.
But, you know, I would imagine that this came up.
That's why I think Andy and I went down that road.
Yep.
Is that the push button that sparked Moss?
But that was after Moss talked.
It was after Moss talked.
No, but then
he might have heard him earlier.
Yeah, he.
Dinner was after open locker room. Probably almost immediately after
Moss
talked.
No. I don't mean the dinner being the reason why Moss decided to talk. I mean the contract being the reason why they decided to talk.
But he would have had to have known about it earlier. It's not like Brady said at dinner, guess what, I'm getting close. I'm
no, yeah, absolutely.
I think he heard Brady.
Well,
I
think he knew.
I mean,
nice.
Who knows? I mean,
or he's not close.
You guys were a little surprised at the length of Brady's deal. If it's true, the reports of only 3 years is a little surprising to you. But maybe Brady said, hey, Randy, I only got 3 years because I asked them to re-sign you. I mean, I don't know.
I would say there's virtually no chance of that.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the whole road?
That's
he went
the road
down,
he
right?
went down
he
that I don't think he's willing
down?
To go down again.
Oh, maybe not. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
but
certainly, everybody was saying he was a union guy now and he was, you know, looking out for. This is not, I don't think this is a get all the money I can for the brotherhood kind of contract was being reported. You know, the one thing that I will say is there any chance that some lines got crossed? Because players always talk about the importance of the first 3 years of a deal. Is there any chance it's the first 3 years is $58 million and it's a five-year, $100 million deal or something?
Now, if that's the case, then it's along the lines of
me
what
too.
I thought originally, and I think it's a good deal.
Sometimes these things get a little muddied, especially in the Twitter generation where everything goes out immediately.
That's true. And
there
I
any chance that that's
you know, I,
basically,
I'm,
that's exactly I said about $60 million of it guaranteed.
I'm really surprised that this got out. If it did, because I know the talks are very direct. It's not. There's not a lot of people involved in this negotiation, so I'm surprised that this info got out. And
unless they wanted it,
and I don't even want to guess which side leaked it out, but I don't understand the motivation on either side to get this out early.
What if neither side leaked it out and it was accidentally leaked out from Brady through Moss?
Well, maybe.
They had dinner together. I love when we speculate on
this
show.
You never know. Let's see. Hyder from Windsor says, I was just wondering, since Brady could be extending his contract this week, would you guys use the franchise tag on Randy Moss? And if not, who would you use the franchise tag on this year? And I hope to see you guys at the Thanksgiving game in Detroit.
Financially speaking, yes, I would. I'd love to have him at a year.
So, well, now that's available.
Yeah, but what if he gets pissy?
Well, he could, but that is always the... you know,
I would love to go year to year with him and just get, you know, say he has another 80 catch season this year, and you say I'd like to have another one.
And as a top five, well, I don't know what the rules would be for franchise tag.
It's
got to
be like 10, right?
Yeah, it's going to be about $10 million.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, would he be?
I don't think he would.
No, I don't think he would.
Yeah,
I think he would want a two or a three.
at decent money with guarantees and everything.
All right, let's take a quick break. Food is here. We'll talk about that when we come back, and so much more here in PFW in Progress.
When the boss says it,
for those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress.
You have to do it. PFW in Progress on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome back here to PFW in Progress. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Talking about Tom Brady and Ian Rappaport's story that there's an imminent contract on the table that he says could be around 3 years, $58 million. We don't know. We're hoping. I would guess if I had to lay money on it that a deal will get done before the game on Sunday.
I would too.
And then,
do I have to yell? Can people hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Oh.
And then the other thing, we're talking about Randy Moss, his comments to CBS Sports about not feeling not wanted. So what does that do? Does that change your opinion of Moss going forward this year? You're starting to get a little nervous about his attitude going into the air. I say it makes you think, but then when you also consider that this is a contract year, I don't think he would risk, moping this season.
Nope.
what?
80 catches, 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns.
Right.
If he's healthy. Right. I think he's going to have a very good year.
Right. Then we were talking
you
about...
You were trying to trade him.
Talking about the cuts. We brought that up a little bit. I think there are some surprises this year, and it tells you, you know, they must feel really good about guys like Morrell and guys like Kyle Love and, you know...
Rob Ninkovich. I mean, we always joked that the ideal used to be three for two. Three inside for the two spots. Three, well, Bill's almost going literally with, he's got four for two, and they're unknowns. I mean, even Banta Kane to some degree. I know he's the returning starter and had a great year, but do you feel totally confident he can play 16 weeks, you know, 60 snaps?
No.
Because I don't.
I you look at the competition, and Cincinnati's got a good balanced offense. Baltimore this year should be better than they were last year.
Just added Hushmanzada.
That's right. And they had already added Bolden, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and Flacco didn't really have a great year last year. It was okay, but, he didn't take that second-year jump. So you would imagine he's going to be better than he was last year. So that's going to be a pretty good offense. I'm not worried about the Jets' offense so much, not worried about the Bills. We don't know about Miami. That could be good. It's already up to Henny, but they've added as well on their offense. Then after that, it's kind of a crapshoot. You know, Cleveland, you know, Detroit, Green Bay, that good defense, and a lot of people are talking about Aaron Rodgers, but, you know, we'll see. But you can imagine that's probably going to be a tough game.
He's a 4,000-yard right. passer.
And then the Vikings, with Favre, he can have one of his good games. And whenever you have Adrian Peterson back there, you know, they've got a good offense as well as one of the best defenses in the league. So it's going to be a tough road, but you know, they've got to get through these first four games, make it to the bye, I hope 3-1. And then I think they'll be okay.
I think they'll be fine if they're 2-2.
2-2.
Yep. If they can get to the bye at 2-2, I'll be feeling pretty good about this football team.
I was thinking about the first two games. You got Cincinnati here, New York at home. I really think it's much more important to beat Cincinnati than it is the Jets. I know the Jets are an AFC East team, but, you know, it's in New York. They're opening up their new stadium. The crowd's going to be crazy. You know, I think it's more important to win your home opener because I think the home games this year, you got to win them all.
I agree, especially when, in theory, you're going to be battling the Jets for the division. A lot of times you just assume those will be splits. You win your home game, hold serve.
Right.
Now, just a quick clarity, they're not opening the stadium. They play the Ravens the week before.
No, but the Giants are opening, but it's their home opener.
No, it's not.
They play the Ravens.
They play the Ravens
Monday Night Football.
Oh, that's right. They figured out how to, right. You're right.
That may put some, if they lose to the Ravens, there may be some urgency on the Jets.
It's just like last year. Now, the Jets won it last year, but it's a much bigger game for New York than it is for the Patriots because of what you just said, Fred. You can't afford to lose when you're at home.
Right.
Now, one thing I would disagree with you, if the Patriots go 8-0 at home this year, then we've all grossly underestimated this team because they're a championship caliber team if they go 8-0 at home this year. They play, six teams that could beat them at home? The Jets, Miami, Green Bay, Minnesota, Indianapolis, Baltimore. That's six teams right there that are capable of winning a game in Foxborough. They run the table with that schedule, they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't think they're going to go 8-0 at home this year like they did last year.
No. But, I think that beating Cincinnati.
Andy, they can't go 6-10 at home. They only play eight home games.
Right. The record Andy is most associated with, 6-10.
Only by Paul.
Only by Paul. All right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. I hope all the mics are working now. I got another email that said somebody's mic is not working, but that might have been before the break.
I think Paul's was working too well.
Because Kevin's out here eating food, so I guess everything's okay in the
studio. That's my ears.
I'm not speaking loudly.
All right. So, Kevin, are you keeping track of the Twitter and the PFT? Just in case something breaks with Brady, you'll let us know.
Why don't we let him focus on mic levels first?
As he's filling up his Pepsi.
As he's getting a drink and eating a salad.
TG and Joyce, he says, leave Squidward alone. You can't give Squidward a hard time for not being there today. He worked yesterday, the holiday, and where were you guys all weekend when all this roster activity was going on?
Saturday night.
I had to check with Florio and Reese to find out what was going on. Where was PFW, Fred?
I posted on PFW as soon as it was announced by the Patriots.
As soon as we found out, we posted. But unfortunately, we didn't find out till everybody else in the world did.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
Guys, what do you think the market will be for Randy Moss after this season? Would the Pats make a fair offer based on whatever that market value is once it's established? Could you see the Pats making a 1 or 2 year offer to Moss? And do you think he would consider it?
I think the market will be limited. It'll be short term. I mean, it seems like the market was kind of limited last time.
If it is, and I think
the Eagles.
You know what it is? It's Manny Ramirez. There's not that many teams that could take him on money-wise that want to take him on. And he's probably alienated enough teams that don't want any part of him. So the market is small. And in that regard, it might work in the Patriots' favor.
I think the market is as big as Moss wants to make it. If he wants to be reasonable with his demands, I think there's...
Can you stop using the words that reasonable to you could be a totally different thing to him?
I don't think there's any team that wouldn't take Moss.
Oh, I disagree.
At what?
At $10 million.
I think they all generally feel... I think it's about the quarterback first and foremost beyond money. I think a lot of teams feel like he would eat my quarterback alive and just have his way with him.
I think there's half the teams in the league wouldn't want him.
I think most people assume you have to have an established, strong franchise quarterback.
This guy is not Terrell Owens.
Oh, he's close.
Not. I don't think so. I really don't.
I think that they have had to do a lot of work in the 3 years that he's been here to keep him happy. And some teams don't want to do that. Some teams don't have, and Andy's point, some teams don't have a quarterback and a coach strong enough to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that the market's going to be big for him unless he's asking outrageous money.
But
it wasn't big last time.
That's your definition of outrageous.
So you think it's better than last time?
You think a 1 year
coming off a record-breaking season last time?
Why is everything so distorted?
That's what I'm saying.
I hope it's not sounding like that over the web. That's all I can help. Chris Ferrer, why don't you give us an update with what it sounds like over the web? Anyway, what
he's
saying, Andy,
for more than 1 year. And $10 million, is he being unreasonable?
No.
Well, what's reasonable? What if he wants 3-30?
Then I have to start worrying about it if I'm a team.
Okay, well, I think that's a pretty reasonable contract. I wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah, it's the length.
And I think a lot of teams wouldn't give it to him.
Right. But you know, the last time...
What, they wouldn't give him the length?
When he goes, it's the length, and I'm thinking, no, it's the girth.
When he came from the Raiders... he had a lot more baggage. I think he's lost.
He wasn't a free agent after the Raiders. He was a free agent after 23 touchdowns from the New England Patriots.
I understand, but I think that the reputation that he had coming out of the Raiders has been somewhat alleviated. He's helped himself.
So you're saying since the first free agent period here? Because I didn't get the feeling, other than Philadelphia, there were a lot of teams beating down his door.
But I think now there will be.
Okay, so you think it's different?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Wait.
So because I think he himself has helped his reputation.
Last fall. When all the courts around the league were analyzing his every single play.
That's debatable.
Let's just say
that, you know, those reports that he had an injured shoulder. Any team that is looking into signing him will have access to those medical reports. Sure. And they'll know whether or not that's true. And if it is true, then, you know, a lot of the stuff that was said about him in the local media, you can throw out the window.
So you think all the stuff out of the Panthers was BS?
What was
that? We've seen tape, and we know if you punch him in the mouth, he quits. We've seen it on tape. We watch film on him.
You say that's just locker room talk. To
I'm
get
just
the guy
asking.
Going.
Don't yell at me. Look, they said it after the game, well, so they weren't trying to get him going.
Do you need the Panthers to tell you what you think of Randy Moss? The guy's one of the best receivers in the league. The numbers prove it.
Right, and he went in the tank for a period of time last year where he was not,
again,
a valuable commodity.
Again, if the medical reports say that he had a bad shoulder, then, you know, maybe it was partly his attitude but also partly his injury. You
that
know?
Partly so, the attitude part
so if you're
is the
hurt,
part I'm asking
you don't have
about.
To try as hard as you can?
Well, that's, you know, again, a lot of the times that people say he's not trying, you know, he actually is.
I'm telling you.
He makes
my
it look
My comparison
easy.
To Manny Ramirez is dead spot on.
You love Manny.
I do. And I love Randy Moss. How many times have I said he's the greatest?
Yeah, but you wouldn't re-sign him.
No, I'd be, for your reason.
Scared.
I wouldn't re-sign Manny either. You know I love Manny. I just think it gets to the point where at some point that physical greatness is going to go soon, and then he's not worth the aggravation. But you know, you say just look at the numbers, it backs you up. Well, Manny Ramirez had fantastic numbers for 8 years here in Boston, but we all saw every day he wasn't always trying hard. What could he have had for numbers had he been dialed in for 162 games every year? How much better could Randy Moss have been last year if, you know, he caught a pass after the temperature got below 40 degrees? I don't know. Maybe he would have caught 20 touchdowns again.
Yeah.
It wasn't all about injuries.
ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting that earlier reports that Brady's contract was imminent is incorrect. So, I don't know.
Is incorrect? Reports is?
Or were or was? Was imminent is incorrect.
Right. So. Let me be the first to be an alarmist. This is usually Andy's. I'm playing your side of the street.
Okay.
This is usually Andy's line. If, for whatever reason, this all turns out to be wrong, and the contract isn't really close, or they're clearly a meeting, and they've come to loggerheads, that's not a good thing. That's the worst possible scenario. Because I think Brady might have been okay if, well, they're still kind of like puttering along, and the regular season's here, and whatever happens, happens. But now he thinks it's close, and it ends up, there's a sticking point for whatever reason. Usually sticking points, the player's not getting something he wants.
You're very negative.
I said I'm playing Andy's side of the street here.
You're way more negative than
that
I am.
That would be the worst part. If Schefter is right and it's not imminent, and I still think it's going to get done before the season, like Fred said. But if it's not, and for whatever reason there's a disagreement, that's the worst possible scenario in my mind.
Nathan says we sound fine over the web, so that's good to know.
Good. So it's just us that have to get headaches. Maybe we have better. Maybe we need new headphones.
I like the Bose ones.
Me too. Let's get those back.
Yeah, we want Bose. We want Bose.
I love Bo.
Are they listening?
Yeah, Bose. Yeah, Bose. Oh, Paul's consulting a media guy. This is never good or entertaining.
Warren says, hey, guys.
Why do you keep saying a different name to start than the name of
Because on top it says Chris, and on the bottom it says Warren.
You did it on the TV show, I think, too. Mike checks it. Oh, no, this is Dave. Well, why do you read Mike?
Anyway, he calls himself the Black British fan. I'm just wondering. That's what he calls himself.
Token?
I'm just wondering, what are your opinions on the effing Jets? I've watched Hard Knocks and really.
What are your opinions?
I'm not impressed by them at all, especially considering everyone is placing them in the Super Bowl versus the Packers. Revis is good, but it takes more than, and they just managed to get into the postseason last year. Are people forgetting this? As for Brady, I don't think he should settle for anything less than what Revis got. Brady turned up for every practice and played in every preseason game. It didn't show signs of unhappiness. He deserves plenty just for his sportsmanship.
I've jumped ship on the Jets. Now I sound funny in my own head. I don't know if you saw it, Fred, the cheeseburger thing on the field, eating cheeseburgers, running sprints, and then even the coaches yelling at him and ends it with, let's go get a goddamn snack or whatever. I mean, everything is a joke about that team. To me, that team's going to be a joke. I think they are the most talented team in football. They will not win the Super Bowl. They will not go to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's disrespectful on so many levels. I mean, I don't want to sound like old crotchety old guy, but you're disrespecting the game.
Well, here's the thing.
The event, your coach.
The fact that they brought the bag of cheeseburgers out there, something said to them, it's okay to do
right.
this.
Right. Do you think they would do that to Bill Belichick?
Right.
No.
No.
I don't think they would do it to Tony Dungy. It's not a nice guy, bad guy.
Right.
I think they had enough respect for Tony Dungy
right.
as this is what we do when we're here. This is
practice.
Business.
Right.
Right. There. And I think Ryan tried to get that over to them in his message. You know,
there's a
difference between having. Yeah. That's what we say when we do stupid stuff. But we wouldn't do it in certain situations. You respect the moment. You respect your boss. You respect the event.
Well,
you're supposed to be working.
Most people respect their boss.
I respect my boss when it's appropriate.
Right.
When you're dribbling all over yourself. Sometimes it's not today, which is weird because you have a white shirt on.
I have the utmost respect for Mr. Kraft.
What, Mr. Big? That's what you BZ guys call him, right?
You're a BZ guy.
I watched All Access, and you were on that show.
I'm a Patriots guy.
You were squeezed in between Mike Reese and Steve Burton, and I mean squeezed. They had to butter you up to get you in there. By the way, I'm available anytime. Anyway, I was paying for
shooting All Access tomorrow, by the way.
But
Yeah, I'm off the Jets. I thought they were a team that was going to prove, you know, you can have fun, it's not serious business, but they're not treating it serious business at all on any level. They don't know where the switch is, where the line is. You can't win that way.
Yeah, I don't take that stuff as far as Andy does.
They were eating cheeseburgers on the field.
Ridiculous.
Running sprints
utterly,
with cheeseburgers.
Utterly.
You are the fattest guy I know, and you
utterly
wouldn't do that.
Ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous that they did that. I just don't think that that causes them to lose a game in December.
See, I do. It's not a direct connect.
I know.
But
you also think that guys not carrying other guys' pads costs
them. It says
a
lot
too.
About them as who they are and where the focus and the leadership and
yeah,
all that
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. And like I said, something told them this is going to be okay if we do this.
And to a lesser degree, it's all fun and games that Jason Taylor's always late.
Right.
Well, that's not funny.
Jason Taylor, I don't have any faith. If I'm a Jets fan, no faith
He's
in
the
him
starter
doing
now.
Anything.
So the Jets are done. They did a great thing by getting Revis, but even that I kind of agree they made too much of. I think they won on the contract, but they just put so much importance in him. And I said to Paul, what happens when he tears his ACL in week one?
Well, I mentioned yesterday appearing on BZ, you know, because you think I'm an employee now.
The Hub?
Yeah.
Or BZ TV?
No, radio.
Ted Nation?
One thing that you would worry about from the Jets' point of view is when you see guys like that, they come in, they miss camp. Especially skilled guys, wide receivers, cornerbacks, pull a hammy in week one. They come up with a sore groin or something, and that affects them kind of the whole year because they never want to take any time off because that admits to everybody that
right.
maybe they weren't in the proper shape when they got to camp.
Right.
And somehow it lingers.
Right. John in Grand Junction, Colorado, said, I read an ESPN piece this morning that said that Brady and Moss had dinner together Monday night after word broke about Brady's deal and after Moss had spoken. Could this be Tom telling Randy to chill out? Now that I got my deal, you'll get yours. Just wondering if the Krafts or Belichick would send Brady as an emissary, or Tom and Randy have dinner out often and it's just a coincidence. I don't know.
I think probably all of the above
sure.
were possible on that. Listen, I think Brady does a lot of stuff to get Randy to stay in line.
But I'm not
they
sure
work
it's,
really
it's
hard.
The Krafts sent an emissary. I think
no.
it's Brady as the leader of the team
yes.
and knowing what needs to be said. And I do think it's probably coincidence that all this contract-related quotes and stuff is coming out today. It also happened to be the night before a day off, before the first before the first regular season game. You know, they were here yesterday. They finish up. We have tomorrow off. Let's do dinner, and you and I, you know,
yeah.
say whatever we need to say. Or maybe it's just we're great friends. Woohoo! Another good year. I think it is coincidental.
By the way, Fred, I got confirmation that we sound fine. From Christopher Ayer.
Yeah, no, we sound fine over the air. That's good. Dave in Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Says, what are your guys' thoughts on the Pats signing Crable to the practice squad? Do you think he has a chance and the potential to get signed to the active roster and actually do something?
Yes.
Do you guys think bringing back Crable has a lot to do with cutting Burgess?
Yes. I mean, the lack of depth there, to me, leaves the door open for anyone short of Andre Tippett to get reps this year at outside linebacker.
I'm going to make a bold statement, Andy.
10 sacks.
The signing of Sean Crable to the practice squad is the most stunning practice squad signing the Patriots have ever made. I can't.
But it could just be health.
That.
Could it just be pure health? He wasn't going to be physically ready to go in camp, and they let him go. And you know, Fred's big on handshake agreements. Maybe they had a handshake agreement or something.
Listen, guys,
well, a lot of these guys, they tell them don't go.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that was...
Yeah, but
he got cut
in July.
Before camp.
Before camp.
I thought that was, we don't want you, we hate you, go away.
Yeah, now I'm not going to... listen, guys lie to you. Sometimes you ask questions to people, and for whatever reason, they can't tell you the straight, honest truth. I was told that wasn't the case. It wasn't a serious injury. It was only going to affect him for a short time.
Who were you told by?
I can't say that.
I thought we were doing that today.
It doesn't mean that you can, you know.
Skipjacks.
It doesn't mean that was true.
It's not
but
a
I
source.
I was told.
It's a seafood restaurant.
I would be surprised if it was an injury that was going to keep him out for most of camp. So they just said, we got to cut you so we can get that roster spot.
You didn't want to develop
desperate
him in camp.
Desperate times call for desperate measures.
No, but you didn't want to develop him in camp. You didn't want to see him earn reps next to Marcus Morrell in camp, and now he's good enough to earn reps?
Maybe they thought that Burgess wouldn't be as bad as he was. Don't forget, they thought Burgess was coming to camp.
But to me, we knew the position was weak with or without Derek Burgess.
I agree.
They know it so exact so that we're cutting him this day and we're bringing
it. It makes no sense
to me. It makes no sense.
That's why I called it the most stunning practice squad transaction ever.
If you still thought
I thought the fourth time with Maulu Tuatelli was really more stunning.
That was a regular season. That wasn't practice squad.
But if you...
Tony Gator.
You didn't want to see him this summer in training camp? I mean, develop reps if you thought there was any chance? And now you think there's a chance and I'm lost.
So you're saying there's a chance?
No, I'm... Well, yes, but no.
I wouldn't be stunned if he works his way onto the active roster at some point.
I think there's no chance he'll be good, but there's a good chance he'll be on the roster.
Yeah, I think that the chances of him being worth developing at this point are small because I think the Patriots told you.
Okay, let's go to
Belichick
a different chance.
Told you what he thought about that.
What are the chances we get?
20%.
What? I didn't ask the question yet.
Oh, I thought I heard this question before.
Pierre Woods and or Derek Burgess on the active roster.
I don't think there's a chance for Derek Burgess.
I think there's a 30% chance.
I think there's a less than 1% chance for Derek Burgess being on the active roster.
I just don't get the lack of depth at outside linebacker.
Pierre Woods, I think this is, what'd you say, Fred? 30?
30.
I'll go with that.
I just don't get it. I don't know what they're, I mean.
I think they just decided that Derek Burgess flat out can't play. So if I'm going to have guys that can't play, yep. I might as well have young guys that can't play.
Yeah, I think you're right, Paul.
That's what I think that the difference between those two guys is.
No, I would agree with that if they had guys. I mean,
no, but
there's only four bodies.
But
outside
whether or
linebacker.
Not you think they have guys,
I think
you
know,
they're all
are certainties.
If they're all of equal ability, I'll take the young guy who's been here than the guy who just showed up who can't.
But
play.
We don't know their equal ability.
And I also think that they
well,
feel
I think
like
that's the assumption.
We know Derek Burgess played last year. He was on the field. He started games.
I'm just basing it on what I saw this summer. Borderline
competitive.
I didn't see a lot of effort out of him.
See, I didn't see anything different than I saw last year.
Now, that may be
I
right.
just assumed it was lack of talent,
yeah,
not
I can't
effort.
Really tell.
That may
I
be right, but he looked like he was going
from day
through the
one, he danced with the right tackle. He brother-in-lawed it with the right tackle. I've seen nothing change since the day he arrived
he's had
throughout.
Some plays. Now, I'm not going to just go off like that. He's had some plays.
Put that DVD together. You show me the clips of the highlights
second,
from last year.
Second part of David's email.
The,
any comments on Jarrett Page, and is he worth a damn, or is he just another guy? And Moss, really, come on, guy. I would feel wanted getting paid $9 million, but hey, that's just me. I'm no Fred Kirsch driving my Cadillac and everything. But, Freddie, I think you need to have a sit-down one-on-one with Moss and soothe all his worries.
I think Jarrett Page is more than just a guy.
Yeah.
I think he's capable NFL safety. 10 career picks, I want to say.
Like he thought enough of himself that he was sitting out camp.
It was a contract problem in Kansas City. It wasn't like Kansas City just decided, oh, he's not good enough for us. And you're like, if it wasn't good enough for Kansas City.
Why didn't we trade them Mankins if we're going to swap contract problems?
You traded a Mankins for Jarrett Page?
No. I'm just saying in a separate side deal. While we're on the phone talking about Jarrett Page, do you need a guard?
I don't know. What about all those tackles they drafted that they had to
They'll
move
probably
to guard?
Give us Castle back at this point.
I don't know. I would take somebody. One of those defensive linemen they're trying to unload, the Tyson Jackson and the other guys.
Is there a chance that the Chiefs come in under the radar this year?
No.
I picked Todd Haley for my coach of the year.
Then they have to do something.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be a little bit better than they have been.
I hope so. I like Castle.
Let's see. During the early this is Phil.
Hey,
Phil.
In. Now, who is it really? Phil. Read the bottom of the email.
Let's see. Mary. No. It's Phil in Austin, or it could be Phil Austin. During the early part of the season, I think this defense will really struggle against teams with decent quarterbacks. I think they may come around in the second half of the year. First part of the schedule, Cincinnati says it's a pick 'em. Jets are a loss. Buffalo's a win. Miami's a pick 'em. Baltimore's a loss, and San Diego's a loss. I think they're going to win that game in San Diego, by the way. Split.
Really?
Shocker.
Well, they got to get.
Wait! You think they're going to win?
They got to get to 11 somehow.
I know. You've set the number at
11. We should point that out. The issue is on the way out now, right?
It's probably
should
here.
Be out there. Well,
could
did they work yesterday though?
Yeah.
Hey, Kinnett?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes they don't.
They do. Labor Day,
Columbus Day, they don't.
We are really in progress right now.
Well, that's the show, Andy.
It's not
the predictions.
One.
The picks and predictions are in the paper. And last year. Surprisingly so. I was stunned when I went back and looked at this. Fred Kirsch had the worst projection for the Patriots out of the four of us. It went from Eric at 14-2.
Who cut ties with that a week into the season, said the dynasty was dead.
I went 13-3, I believe. Andy, you went 12-4. And Fred went 11-5. This year, order has been restored. Fred has the highest end prediction at 11-5. I was 10-6. Andy was 9-7. Eric was 8-8. Now, Andy, why don't you go at it with Eric a little bit.
He's not here.
He went from 14-2, and then 3 weeks later, it decided the dynasty was over.
Right.
And he's down to 8-8.
Now he's down to 8-8.
And they'll beat Cincinnati, and he'll be back up to 14-2.
Right, that's what he does. I kind of do it, too.
No, that's what you do.
No.
He'll be stubborn about it. You guys misreading Eric. He's stubborn.
Certainly stubborn.
Let's see. Phil says, split the two pick'em games, and it looks like maybe 2-4 for the first part of the season. Bye-bye, Fairweather fans. And then he says, Minnesota's a pick'em, Cleveland's a win, Pittsburgh's a loss, Indy's a loss, Jets a win, and Detroit's a win. So at this point, my guess is around 6-6 or 5-7. And then he says that they end up around 9-7, and that might get them into the playoffs. So,
if you're 5-7, how are you going to end up 9-7?
I don't know.
Well, you can.
I know
physically you can, but, I mean, all those games that you're predicting is losses, and you're not predicting, like, losing to Green Bay?
Did you see 4.5 is the number right now, supposedly?
4.5?
Patriots by 4.5.
Oh, no.
I was interested by that.
Hey, is there a caller on the board? Kevin shakes his head. Yes. Who do we have?
Dead air.
Joe from
answered himself.
Joe from Pennsylvania, I think. Is it Joe?
Joe Pa.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
Good. Sorry to make you hang on so long.
That's all right. I get used to it listening to the show.
Sorry.
I'll tell you what. The outside linebacker. I know everybody keeps on talking about it, but you know, a few years ago, Mike Vrabel was on the Steelers, and he got cut. Nobody knew who he was.
He was a free agent.
He didn't get cut.
I'm sorry. He was a free agent. But he wasn't starting. I mean, I think he had a couple career starts. Guys like Ninkovich and everybody else, even at the inside, I mean, these guys can develop. I mean, they just don't walk in off the street, you know, playing the UFL or whatever. I mean, it just seems that everybody's down on the linebackers. And I understand because they haven't done anything. But you have to give them a chance also.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm giving Cunningham a chance. Ninkovich, I've seen enough where I don't think he can be an every down player.
Cunningham, I'm giving a lot of chance. He's a rookie unknown. I really haven't seen
true
him.
True unknown.
Ninkovich is a fifth-year player. Morell is a fifth-year player, I believe. Third.
If Cunningham had played in the preseason and he did some things, I'm not saying he flashed every game, but I would be a hell of a lot more optimistic than I am right now. But
Cunningham is the guy to be
encouraged
about.
The flat-out fact is he hasn't played yet. We have no idea, and now he's playing a position that he really didn't play in college. You know, he's being, you know, somewhat. So I'd love to, you know, base my optimism on something right now, but other than, you know, the flashes we saw from Spikes, knowing that Mayo is what he is, the outside is a big question.
I understand. I guess my part is like, even on the inside, though, I mean, Bruschi was a D end at Georgia when he came up. And like I said, Vrabel was a kind of special teamer, backup linebacker, and then he ends up, you know, being a cornerstone of the dynasty. I don't know. I mean, the optimism is there because it's happened before. I mean,
but I'd be saying the same thing if this was back in 1996 or whenever Bruschi came in the league. He didn't even play on passing downs. You know, he had a weakness in coverage. And, you know, he was – so if it was his first year, I would have the same reservations that I'm having now.
And that's – you know, the Bruschi thing is actually a very good analogy because it was 96 and all the way to 2001 before he became
– Right, the guy that we know. Yeah.
So – If I think it'll take that long for a guy like Morell or, you know, some of these other guys that haven't really done anything.
And but they don't have that
And I don't think they even have that long. They're not going to be around that long to be able to do it, first of all.
Somebody needs to perform week one. They need a starter. They need somebody out there.
And that's why there's a concern. You know, Telly Bantakane wasn't even what Telly Bantakane is now for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
He wasn't even what he is now last year at the beginning.
He was a backup. He was a rotation guy, and he thought he could go start out in San Francisco.
Right.
I mean, but is that draft pick next year? Is the Raiders draft pick already traded? I mean, are we going to go get somebody?
Maybe for this year?
In the offseason? I mean, it just.
No, I think just the opposite. I think there's a chance they're looking at that draft, and there are a number of guys, Claiborne out of Iowa, my guy Quinny out of North Carolina.
Quinny.
Maybe this is the year they actually get that elite edge guy with that huge package of DeMarcus Ware, size, athleticism, everything. You know, maybe they hope that's a top 10 pick and they get that guy.
Yeah. I mean, do they trade up into the top 5? I mean, if the Raiders are as good as some people are saying and if we're a middle of the road team, I mean, you're not going to get a guy like Claiborne at you know, 17 or 18. Do you trade up?
Yeah, I mean, we're a long ways away from that whole process.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what we're going to do on the outside. I mean, are we going to.
I think that you have to address it. Andy and I, it's funny, we were talking about this as we walked to the show, and Andy brought up, you know, tight ends for a long time were a position it seemed like Bill couldn't get. And now it looks like he hit two home runs.
People wanted him to actually stop drafting tight ends. It's your weak spot. It's the hole in your swing. Now everybody's raving about the two rookie tight ends. Who's to say this time next year we're not saying the same thing about the two outside linebackers they got with the, you know, 7th and 14th pick or something like that?
Right, you never know. All right, Joe, hey, where are you from in Pennsylvania?
I'm actually halfway in between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, so I'm in hell. I am
the Rust Belt, yeah. Do you eat Scrapple?
No, I don't.
I like it. With ketchup, it's yummy.
Oh, no. I'll tell you what, I'll send you some.
Oh, thank you. All right, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have
All right, that's Joe from Pennsylvania, 508-543-7482.
Can we revisit, though, a comment you just made?
What?
I would love to have something to base my optimism on, is what you said. That was the sentence.
As far as the outside linebackers go, I would.
You're saying I am optimistic. I just wish I could base
sometimes,
it on something.
Fred, sometimes when you hit us with it's like a splash of cold water. You really, when you say things sometimes, they're stunning. And it really, throws us for a loop. When you're saying it, like Andy, I mean, Andy's always negative.
What I'm trying to say is I'd love to be able to say, I think Cunningham is going to be good because blank. It hasn't been filled in yet. He hasn't been on the field. You know, because of that one play he made against
the Rams.
But
you have to have 11 starters.
I can't even say that.
There's 11 guys on a football team, not 10.
And I know that the some of the listeners have been tired of us talking about the outside linebackers. It sounded like Joe kind of was along that line.
Is that idiot Malden?
Yeah, no, but it sounds like Joe was kind of along those lines, too. It's a major, major area of concern, and there's no fill-ins.
So let me ask you a question.
Gerard Warren is replacing Ty Warren, okay? He's an NFL player. Now, is he as good as Ty Warren? Probably not. But I think that's a reasonable facsimile. So I don't sit there and say the sky is falling, Gerard Warren has to play. But if I have to say that Marcus Morrell, and that's where I think we'll be starting on Sunday, is Marcus Morrell, I think the sky is falling if I have to say that.
Come on. How are you going to be mean to Marcus? He seems like a very nice
guy. Great guy. Hey, listen, just for that elevator trick that he did in New York alone.
See, he's got that quickness, that first step in and out elevators.
He had like two styrofoams of food, a drink in one hand. He had his foot holding the elevator door open, got out.
See, I think
unbelievable. What athleticism.
I think the more accurate thing is, it's not necessarily the sky is falling, but there's no empirical evidence at this point to say they'll be good because blank. We just don't know.
In fact, there may be the opposite. We've seen Ninkovich, and I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe he's going to be very good or competitive or... I think he's a guy.
I think Ninkovich can get after the passer a little bit off the edge. I don't think he can.
I saw him run right by a guy unblocked the other night.
No, I know, but he provides that's good pressure.
But in the NFL, it isn't. When you are unblocked, it's called a Dan Klecko sack. Except when you don't actually get the sack.
But if
you're unblocked in the National Football League, you have to make the play. You cannot miss.
But
on
my
those
point is, I don't see a lot of Patriots coming around the edge and forcing the quarterback up into the pocket.
Right.
At least I saw it on that play.
See.
That's a
cuttable offense.
Now,
runaway rushers need to get to the quarterback. You cannot miss at free opportunities.
I agree.
If that's
happening in the regular season,
Lawrence Murray, there's a big hole there. You trip. It's okay. No, it's not okay. You have to maximize your opportunities.
I agree with you. I understand.
He's all wrapped up.
He is. I don't mind it.
I
think it's
football.
Good. I think it's good when someone
passion.
Reaches my psychotic level. My point that I'm trying to make is if Rob Ninkovich is consistently getting around the corner and forcing quarterbacks out and missing, that needs to stop. He can't do it. That's not good. I think that if he does that on a consistent basis, he's going to get the guy more often than not. He missed the guy that day. Later in that same game, he got him.
He took a bad angle is why he missed him. That's
later
my point.
In that same game,
he's not
matter
a
of fact, it was
pass
within.
Rusher. He's not that good.
He's never played.
All right.
Okay. There's a reason he's never played.
We've got to take a break.
I know you're big on the year five jump.
Why do we have to take a break?
We'll be right back.
We're in the middle of an argument.
PFW in progress. Not your run-of-the-mill talk show.
Look, I'm not sure this place is working. The drinkers are smoking, the smokers are drinking, and the gamblers are having sex with everything that moves.
Patriots.com Radio.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in? It
says here American Airlines Flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. Says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? Jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited, but only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriot season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Yeah, don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on a New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together, talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the Mass State Lottery, masslottery.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, back here in PFW in progress.
Already?
Paul, Andy, and Fred holding down the fort until Squidward gets back tomorrow.
Yes.
So,
I have no beef with Squidward.
No.
Squidward picked me up big time this weekend.
Imagine that. He's a little man. I wouldn't think he'd be capable of such a feat.
Web radio.
Well, he helped out on Saturday night, which was very, very beneficial when the cuts were coming down. And he put in a good day yesterday. Which, I don't know if you noticed the schedule yesterday.
He got a ridiculous schedule.
Yeah.
Hosed would be the word.
He took it on the chin.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was here for the whole thing, but.
Yeah. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
More than usual.
Chris with a TIAN writes in. It says, wow, what a whirlwind this past weekend. Football season is officially here. Sunday at 1. Can't wait. As for the cuts. I, too, was surprised by the Burgess release. At the same time, I am pleased that they have cut ties. He has been
exactly how I feel. I was stunned by it, but at the same time, I was happy about it.
That's what I wrote on the blog. I wrote, finally, because it validated what we all thought of him as a player. But then I wrote, what the hell is going on
out there? Steal Andy's line, I just like to be right.
Right. He has been an absolute dog since he got here. The youth movement continues. The lack of experience on D does scare the hell out of me, though. Time will tell. Also, how the hell is Matthew Slater still on this team?
Another good question.
I mean, wouldn't you think Sam Aiken brings more to the table? The only thing I ever remember Slater doing was having a ball bounce off his face on a punt against the Pittsburgh in 08.
Yep.
At least Aiken could play wide receiver and was your special team's captain, if I'm not mistaken. That's weird.
Yes. I don't get it either. He must not be as good on special teams as
Aiken?
He should be. Yeah.
Maybe he's not, but I have never really seen Slater be a consistent force on special teams.
And he has no value on offense. And
he
I
should
agree.
Be the Kyle
Aiken
Arrington.
Has proven himself a option at the bottom of the roster. When you get a couple injuries on offense, he can come in and be a serviceable receiver. You throw the ball too many times, you start to see why he's not a real receiver. I don't think Matthew Slater has any value other
at
than
any
special
position.
Teams.
No.
That's why he's been a safety, a receiver, bounce. You know, they change it on the roster every once in a while.
I mean, he is the first guy down on coverage in both punt and kickoff.
How often does he make the tackle?
Well, that's the thing. No, he does force the play on most plays, but for every good play he makes, he does a bonehead play.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I'd like to tell you the special teams tackles totals, but they're not listed.
He's got intriguing speed. I mean,
for Sam
the guy, you know.
For Slater.
Oh.
Yeah, it's interesting. Clint is a Gator and Pat fan, and he says he's a Gators fan stuck in the Midwest and has watched Cunningham's entire college career and was not a fan. He's too inconsistent, and elite blockers in college ate him up. Oh, I wouldn't hold your breath for him. The Pats should have taken Carlos Dunlap with that pick. He's a head case, but talented.
He's coming to town, right? He's with the Bengals, right. I believe.
Slater, I don't think he's playing. Isn't he hurt?
Oh,
Dunlap, cool. Carlos Dunlap. I heard he might be hurt.
I had no idea.
Is he on the Bengals?
I maybe. Yeah, but I thought.
I don't
know
if he's on the Bengals.
Didn't you write the preview?
I didn't mention Carlos Dunlap. He's not starting.
Now I know why.
He's obviously not starting.
I hope he starts on Sunday.
Somebody strippers will tell us. What's the matter, Paul?
I'm just trying to think, but I don't remember seeing the name Carlos Dunlap.
Well, maybe he's hurt.
In any of the stuff that I read all week.
See?
Slater had 7 special teams tackles last year. Now,
Arrington had 17 in 6 games.
Half a season. And one of the things that Scott O'Brien talked about was that's the guy that's in position to make plays. In other words, he's the supreme athlete with the best speed who's going to be down. That's how you gear. I know it's... You know, Bill always says it's organized chaos, but there really is a lot of game planning involved with special teams as well. And the Patriots, just like every other team, work to get certain guys in position to make plays. Matthew Slater should be one of the guys the Patriots are working to get in position to make plays, and yet he made 7 special teams tackles in 14 games.
And does he make memorable ones even?
I can't recall one.
Like, everybody points to that Ray Ventrone one in the Super Bowl.
That was a big hit. Like, and that
I
was
can't
a big
think
hit.
Of a Slater version of that.
And the emailer's right. The one time that I can remember was when the kickoff bounced off his face against Pittsburgh, which basically put the end to that game.
Francis in Hawkesbury, Ontario. I'm really looking forward to Sunday for the season to finally start. I'm really confident in our offense. I mean, G-Force, are you kidding me? That guy is a touchdown machine. That being said, our defense really scares me. Do you guys see any trade coming for either a linebacker or a cornerback? Is there any possible trades or free agents available? We have 2 first-round draft picks as well as 2 second-rounders. We have to be able to trade one of those away. Thanks for your insight. And, by the way, really hope those reports that Brady will sign are true.
How about Bobby Carpenter? Did he get picked up? I know he got
caught. He went to Miami.
He did?
Yeah.
Huh?
So Parcells still likes him.
Another one.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that I would have said, he had talent. We'll take it. You know, the version of Crable that we kind of stuck with.
I would have taken a
first
shot there.
First-round talent, take a chance.
Let me ask you something.
A body. I just want a body.
What did you think in terms of...
they do call him Barbie Carpenter, though.
Matt Leinart. Any promise there? You know, would you have taken a flyer, see if maybe you could resurrect a career as a backup?
I think he could be a good backup in this league. But he just doesn't have the head for a starting job.
I've never cared for him.
See, I think it's physical. I don't think he has the physical tools to play.
I've always thought he had a twig of an arm.
Yeah, and that's how I feel. But I just was, you know, I know he, I knew he was going to get cut.
I think the same thing about Brian Hoyer, and they like him as their backup.
Right, and I was wondering if when he was available, if that would be a guy you know, my brother actually mentioned it. He goes, you know, this guy's top 10 talent. And I had just said, I just think he was vastly overrated from a physical standpoint right. in retrospect. You know, we all thought that he was going to be great, but I if you look at him.
I'm not sure I thought he was going to be great, did I?
No, we were both down on him.
Okay, good. Yeah. I need you to remind me.
Don't worry about it. You don't need to be reminded.
But clearly, he's not a starting quarterback because he went to a team that has an established young quarterback.
And
he's backing up a guy. I know he's had injury issues, Matt Schaub, but you're not winning a starting job in Houston.
No, and there's the only thing about that is Schaub is generally missing games, so he might feel like he might get an opportunity to play there. He was only going to sign a one-year deal. And who was really – not that – don't misread this statement. Who's unsettled right now at quarterback in terms of – they don't really know who the starter is. Now, I know you might say that they
Cleveland.
Could do better.
Cleveland.
Teams could do better than their starter. Well, DeLome's going to play this year.
Maybe.
No, he's going to play this year. Now, that might not be right.
What happens when he throws 13 interceptions in the first three games?
My point is, I don't think he could have gotten to a team that the starting job was more open than the one that he couldn't win the job
what
with.
What about Denver?
San Francisco.
Denver?
Yeah.
I think Denver has Kyle Orton. I mean, he's the guy this year.
And yeah. if they don't, they have Tebow.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And they have their future plan in
not necessarily
in
settled.
But what about San Francisco?
No, I think if Orton didn't do well, I think they'd be very quick to see what Tebow could do, don't you?
No.
Or
no.
How about Seattle, a place where Hasselbeck, the end, could come at any point?
Seattle's a place,
but San Francisco, a team that everybody says
but if he
is
had
a
signed,
Super Bowl contender, Fred, except the quarterback is a question.
But if he had signed in Seattle this year for 1 year, I think the same thing that you just said.
Plus his boy Pete's there.
Would be accurate.
Well, that was the damning evidence right there, the fact that Pete didn't take him.
Well, I don't know what the interest in. I mean, they have the other guy, too, right, out there? Who did they bring in to compete with Hasselbeck that they like? One of those Chargers' former backups?
Oh, Whitehurst. Charlie Whitehurst. Yeah, and they got rid of Lossman. I know that.
Yeah.
But I just was – there's really – there's bad quarterbacks in the league, yes. But I don't know if there's a team that had a situation that they were as unsettled as who the starter was going to be heading into camp as Arizona was.
Yeah.
I don't think this is an example in the league that's more glaring than that, and he couldn't win it there.
Right, right.
So clearly he's a backup.
He couldn't even get to the point where he might win it. Let's keep him on, you know. They just said
and there was a personality clash.
Yeah, they had no interest.
Well.
It wasn't just physical. They just had no interest in whatever.
I mean, he only threw 13 passes in the preseason. That's not really giving him much of a chance to win the job.
Let's see. Derek from the University of Arizona says crazy weekend
G-force.
With the team. Some surprises on the roster from top to bottom. When Jarrad Page was traded for, I thought, earmuffs Andy, James Sanders was on his way out. Then we learned of the McGowan injury. At one point, I was saying, if you would have told me at the draft that Sean Crable would be one of the team would be on the team and Tyrone McKenzie would not be, I would have called you an idiot. Now they're both on the practice squad. Anyway, lots of moving parts, but I have a few questions. Which move surprised you the most? I'd have to say Burgess. I mean, not because of because
the most surprising things were injury related to me. So,
no one knew about this pectoral issue with.
Well, we had an idea that was pretty serious. We had talked. Actually, Mike told us. Mike Reese had said, "I'm hearing that the McGowan thing is pretty serious," but. You never know when a guy's going to get put on IR like that unless you actually see the injury.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like obviously when we saw Brady, we saw Welker, we knew
but like
that has a serious injury.
He has back surgery. Who knows?
Who knew how serious that was? So when Bodden got put on IR, that was the most stunning thing to me that happened in the transactions. But obviously, that's something that couldn't be avoided.
Right.
Yeah.
So
Burgess has to be the most surprising.
Because of the lack of bodies, the question mark.
Right.
He was the only veteran.
Right. Right.
Even if he stunk, you could count on him stinking on an NFL field.
Right.
It was like every time they made a transaction, there was something that was like, whoa. You know, Damian Lewis on the Friday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not overly surprising, he didn't take a rep with anybody all summer. We all saw it coming, but still. It's kind of surprising when you see a guy like that.
Skychuk going to the UFL now? The league that he had no interest
in. I don't really want to talk about that.
What do you think of Jarrad Page and his potential fit?
We'll see. He seems like another one of those big-bodied safeties. Bill can have a little fun. Maybe that's the plan. Maybe the plan is we're going to have Tully Bantakane and we're going to move parts around and we're going to be as multiple as we've ever been. That could be part of it. I mean, we've seen a lot of safety stuff in camp with different packages of Chung, McGowan, Merriweather, Sanders, Merriweather, Chung. Maybe this guy adds some versatility. He's a big-bodied guy, so maybe he adds some versatility to that.
Something else that Andy and I talked about, that one of my first thoughts when I saw Page was that maybe they're going to try to move one of the safeties to corner too. And Merriweather would be the guy. Played a lot of corner in college, and that's where he started in 07. Not started in the lineup, but that's the first position he played as a Patriot. Maybe you try to get by with him as an extra corner.
Worried about the swivel hips. What?
All right, Ron Lynn.
I'd love to have something to base my optimism on.
Derek also says, what have you seen from Dane Fletcher that makes him roster worthy?
Athletic, works hard. I mean, he didn't stick out at linebacker as a guy who played D-end and couldn't move. We saw him in some pass coverage drills where he looked fluid and was running with tight ends, running with receivers.
I think he offers more to a roster than Tyrone McKenzie.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is jumping on Andy's point about him being fluid, I think McKenzie, if you had to play defense and you needed someone to play first down and 10, I'd rather have McKenzie out there than Fletcher. But beyond that, special teams, this is a backup linebacker. I think Fletcher's a better fit for that. I think he can play in passing situations if he had to. I don't think McKenzie can. I think he's a much more versatile player.
There was a guy, I think, on He-Man that he had this metal thing that went right from his shoulders up to the top of his head, and it made his head just one big block of a triangle. That's what McKenzie is. It all just moves as one. Like he rotates at the waist, but not through the shoulders and the neck. It's he's not us stiff. I keep saying this, but he's stiff through that upper body. Just looks like a big bruising middle linebacker who can't really move.
If they didn't have spikes,
almost like Vincent Brown toward the end
of
his career,
kind of Vincent Brown esque. Yeah.
If they didn't have spikes, I think McKenzie would be a better fit.
Yeah.
And he might have been a better fit 15 years ago.
Right, but spikes flat out beat him out. With all the roster turnover, this young Patriots defense is once again hurt by injuries. Not even one game into the regular season, Bodden, Warren, and McGowan are done for the year.
I'm very concerned about that.
I feel that with new players forced to step up into starting roles, it could improve the team long term with players gaining experience. But at the same time, I'm trying to win now, and the question becomes, could these injuries be simply too much to overcome?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a big concern. I know I harp on this all the time, but just when you're starting at a level that's lower to begin with.
But does a lack of depth in August equate to a depth in November because so many people have to play that you're better suited?
That's some people say. You'd rather have it happen early. Get
right.
these guys
And
in
now
there.
You get all these bodies. You run them out
but
there.
But my
you
point
get
is you're going to have – I think there's a number of injuries that you're going to have. Every NFL team is going to have them. And you're starting the year – already at a weakened spot.
No, but I'm saying because Brace and Wright and Dedrick have to play early, when someone else goes down, they've already played enough. They've been rotating through enough so that they're better suited rather than Ty Warren played every snap for 8 weeks and then he's out. Boom, somebody's got to play. I'm trying to be whatever the opposite of a devil's advocate is.
Yeah, no, that's totally.
I'm an angel's advocate here. I'm just trying to be positive. It's what
totally
I do on this show.
A Fred-like approach to it. And
well, I'd love to have something to base my optimism.
But I just look at it as you already have guys that are probably a little bit subpar.
Bengals.
And you're starting with those guys. What's behind them?
According to strippers, a Bengals.com article on September 5th says that Carlos Dunlap may not be active for the Patriots game.
You can take the lap off. He's done. What was that guy's name? Chris?
Chris Dunlap. Fred's best line. He can drop the lap. He's done.
Dave Thomas making look easy. It's not Dave Thomas, Fred. Why are we whispering?
That's all right.
The new microphone's picking everything up.
TG wants to know when we're going to get the PFW picks on the web.
TG.
Somewhere so we fans and listeners can check them out. You mentioned perhaps using the PFW in Progress site or the online PFW paper site.
The hell we talking
it
about?
Would be great if the listeners could log in and go up against you guys.
We're talking about our weekly picks?
I guess so.
On the radio show?
We haven't made those yet.
Yeah, we
make
do those Thursday.
On Thursday. But we did talk about having a listener do it with us every week.
We talked about that?
Yeah.
Send pictures. Why am I not
hot listeners can do it with
no,
us.
No, you were here. We talked about doing that. And
I was probably in the middle of a rant.
Putting it up on PFW Online or PFW in Progress. You know, so every
I'm all for it.
Thursday we'd have a listener get involved.
Okay, I'm all for it. Make it happen. And so it is.
Kevin has to get involved in that. All right, so let's do this. On Wednesday.
Wednesday.
We'll do a little contest to see who's the person.
How do we do that?
We have to figure that out.
We'll have a trivia question.
Something like that. And the person who gets it right.
Don't do it. Don't say it.
The person who gets it right.
Guess how many marbles it would take to fill up Paul's
waist. Gets to be on with us Thursday.
I was going to go guess Paul's current weight.
I mean, that fluctuates, is it? Before you eat the sub, after you eat the sub, before you run out of here three quarters of the way through the show to pee because you have a growing problem.
I don't think he pees. I haven't seen him pee.
He sprints out of here to urinate.
Yeah.
What do you do when you go
to the
bathroom?
That's not good. Shouldn't retain water. Is that what it all is? You're retaining water there? You're bloated? Here it is. I thought you were fat.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
All right.
Just get the show online, will you, please?
No, it is. I'm just trying to figure out if we're going to do some sort of contest. Is this something that needs to be like email done? Or are you going to put it on the blog?
No, we'll take a caller who'll call in on Wednesday who can answer a question. If he or she gets it right, then they can participate in picks on Thursday.
So what do? They send us their picks? We don't have to have them on the phone making the picks.
No, yeah, we'll email the picks in the next day. Right.
Oh, you don't want them on the phone with us?
No, just on Wednesday when we do the trivia. That'll be the fun part.
Having a guy say, I'm going to go with the Pats too, is not fun.
That's an hour on the phone with a guy?
Yeah, and with the four of you making picks.
That's an average call for Mike in Puerto Rico.
Hey, by the way, Kevin, who bought us lunch today?
James.
James from?
James Pettigrew.
Oh, James Pettigrew. Well, thank you very much, James, for lunch
outstanding,
today.
Outstanding, James.
Yep.
And he's going to be our sponsor every Tuesday.
He's sponsoring Tuesdays.
That's ridiculous.
Why don't we make him the guy who does the picks
if he's
buying a lunch every
week? He reached out to me today and asked if it could be possible to come in and sit for a little while.
Of course.
Absolutely.
I said we'd make it happen.
Right on Paul's lap.
Fred will take care of that.
Disregard the excitement.
Yeah, so we'll have that eventually.
Oh, God.
Let's
see. You're a bad person.
Aaron,
just a wretched, wretched human being.
Aaron from Sterling, Virginia says, "Hi, Fred, men of PFW and Eric. I was on vacation last week, and this morning I thought I should listen to my last Tuesday's podcast to catch up on what I'd missed. Imagine my surprise when I heard Fred read an email that started, 'Aaron and Sterling writes.' My first thought was, 'I did?' Followed by, 'I hope this email doesn't suck any more than my normal letters to PFW.' Well, I won't pass judgment on the letter, but it started out by ripping the listeners' phone calls and demanding that Paul spend an hour answering one question. It closed out strong by demanding some Pats players jump off a bridge or play in traffic or something. Anyway, let me officially say that that wasn't my email. I don't wish ill will on any Pats player, have no beef with Anthony's or Mike's phone calls, and have never wanted Paul's hour-long opinion on anything, football or otherwise. Just kidding. Pollywog." Is that what he calls you, Paul? Pollywog?
I guess.
So somebody else.
Listener on listener fraud.
So now we got to start cross-referencing email addresses with names.
Yeah.
Fred will never be able to do that.
And that's part of our a segment on our new television show is going to be taking some emails as well.
Right.
So this could create all kinds of possibilities.
Our new show, which is on CSNNEE, on Thursday nights at 7:30. And at 9 o'clock.
Smack dab between two other football shows.
It's
right?
A football block.
It's a block.
It's Thursday football night in New England.
And ours is going to be the best show.
Of course, because we're the best. Just ask us.
Here are the grades I would give the Pats in the following areas compared to the rest of the league. Let me know if you agree, disagree, and what grade you would give them and why. Overall offense, B+.
A.
Seems like they are putting together decent drives, just not as consistent as I would like.
A. I would say A.
Receivers, tight ends, A. I think we have everything we need here, talent, experience, and depth.
A.
I would go B+ on that.
Wow, he's so negative.
O-line, B-.
I would agree.
I think they have looked okay, but I worry that one more injury to that group completely destroys it.
C.
Overall defense, C.
Oh, I would go lower than that.
F.
F. I expect
C-, D+.
I expect them to statistically finish middle of the pack, but will never get stops when they need them.
I agree.
I'm not
the numbers
sure.
I think the numbers will look better than that.
That was the issue last year.
I'm not sure you'll be that good this year.
Yeah, you're not going to have numbers as good as you did last year, I don't think.
Linebacker, C-. I don't have a great feel for this group's depth or talent, fearing the worst. Defensive backfield, B-. Like the youth and think there is talent, but I'm worried about the lack of experience and the weather, specifically Merriweather.
I think they might. My fear on that is they could get beaten down.
Right.
Because I think quarterbacks can have a lot of time to throw, and they're going to get up a lot of completions, and that wears on you.
Mm-hmm. And special teams, B+. I think they have looked good returning kicks, but think they could do a bit better covering them.
I agree.
Also, I'm not sure how this weekend's roster moves impact this area.
So the coverage hasn't been good. The return game has been outstanding.
That's the real Aaron from Sterling.
Are they not going to have a special teams captain? Who's that going to be? Matthew Slater?
I don't know.
I don't know. Whoever they pick.
Thanks.
You didn't hear my beginning part?
I heard it.
Johnny from Leeds, England says...
Or is it?
Johnny from Leeds says, just found the article this morning in which Moss states that he doesn't feel wanted despite believing he now knows who to use his skills to more effect... If Derek Mason...
How to use his skills more effectively.
Yeah. We can't even see it and we can read it.
If Derek Mason at 37-38 can be the Ravens' most productive receiver catching from Flacco, surely someone like Moss can still be a massive impact until that age. The guy's a freak. Let's give him whatever he wants. The only way we don't pay Moss is if we think we have to concentrate on youth. And if that is the case, why the hell didn't we take Dez Bryant when we had the chance to let him learn from Moss in his rookie year? I have to sneeze.
I noticed you dove for a napkin across the
table. I think that Derek Mason is a much different kind of receiver than Randy Moss. And I think when Moss's physical skills start deteriorating or further deteriorating, I think that you run the risk of him not being as effective. Derek Mason has pretty much operated in the kind of way that he does now his whole career. He's been a great possession receiver his whole career.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the weakness of the Ravens was their passing game.
No question. And
they went out this year.
One of the major reasons for that.
Anquan Boldin, they drafted somebody. Didn't they draft a receiver or a tight end?
I think they drafted a tight end.
I mean, they've been trying to upgrade their passing.
But
attack.
They also got Dante Stallworth.
Oh, yeah, Dante Stallworth, who's hurt.
The Ravens situation, I don't like the Hushmanzada signing for them, but I do like their other moves. But that's part of the reason why their passing game has been average, is because Derek Mason was your best receiver at 37 or whatever age he is.
Sam in Chicago.
That was a nod from Fred on the radio.
Sam in Chicago says, hopefully I can get Comcast out here and see your mugs this Thursday.
Oof.
With Warren and Bodden out and five guys starting on D that are on their first or second year, the unknown portion is rather large, but the New Orleans Saints had the 24th ranked defense last year.
You show me who's going to have the big plays that Darren Sharper had last year when he was knocking on the door of defensive MVP.
Yeah, they also let
if you get those, if you get nine picks, including like four return for touchdowns, your defense will be better than I think it's going to be.
They led the league in turnovers forced, if I'm not mistaken, last year, Saints. And listen,
that's what Mike. What's what that guy does? What's his name?
You can do that, Greg Williams.
Yeah, him.
You can cover up a bad defense by forcing turnovers, and if you do that, that's all it takes because this offense is going to score.
And we've seen thoughts that they may do that with corner blitzes, safety blitzes, bringing pressure.
Well, and that gets into the, we talked about Jarryd Page, and maybe Bill is going to say, hey, listen, I don't have the horses in my front seven to do it traditionally. So let's try to do things maybe a little bit unconventionally, and that's part of it. You bring in some blitzes and you send guys from different places. Dare I say you take a page from Rex Ryan.
But the problem is, can't all these teams also run on you if you try to do that?
Well, that's where I think there might be a difference.
Adrian Peterson?
I think you might have a difference this year.
Ray Rice?
I have felt pretty confident since 2002 that this defense won't get beaten on the run. Now, I know what happened in the playoff game last year and what happened the week before. Down the stretch of the season, they deteriorated stopping the run. But for the most part last year, it really wasn't a big problem. I think it could be a problem this year.
And that stands to reason. You once had three first-round picks as your front line. Now you have Fork,
one.
And you're
well, you have a first-round pick,
him.
But not one of yours.
Well, yeah, but it's like saying Sean Springs or Delph O'Neal were first-round picks, and not when you got them.
Sean says, I'm from Florida, and I have DirecTV with the upgraded sports package. I get NESN and Comcast Sports New England.
Nice.
I get the sports news, but some shows are blacked out. If I remember correctly from last year, I couldn't get the Tailgate Show or PFW. I don't know why.
Well, PFW wasn't on that channel last year, but the Tailgate Show.
No, but he says, he got NESN. Yeah, so that was on Naked, so you wouldn't have been able to get that.
Yeah, the Tailgate Show, if you weren't getting that, then I would worry that you're not going to get this either.
Yeah.
But I know, like, the Mohegan Sun Show, I have some friends that have watched that, up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
Right, right.
Champagne.
Brett writes in, he says, how have you been dealing with the loss of Christina Acra? I just read she took a gig in Georgia covering SEC football.
Oh, really?
Has her role of a sideline/studio hottie been filled by anyone else we should know about?
What station is she on?
SEC football.
I wonder if
it's
SEC Network.
Well, they have a network.
That's good for her. I'll be watching.
Yeah, but for all the wrong reasons.
That's all right.
But that role, Fred.
Why do you think they put her out there?
The position has been filled.
To be respected as a journalist.
Lindsay 3Y Petrunni.
Three what?
3Ys.
Oh.
And
catch her on Patriots Today.
So if you
with
watch
Brian
Patriots
Lowe.
Today, Lindsay Petrunni is from the Pittsburgh area. And we won't hold that against her, although Eric would like to hold something up against her.
I knew where he was going. I just wanted to see how uncomfortable and creepy he could
and
make
And he tries often. Believe me, he spends a lot of time in that area.
I got to have a talk with Eric.
You should.
I really need to have a talk.
Is this the time where I should bring up where we got flashed on the street at the trip to, in the trip to
New York? Oh, yeah. Classic.
I guess
we saw
so.
Hooters. Some girls were clearly
boobies.
Intoxicated and jumping around on the sidewalk, to which Andy goes, show your rhymed
bleeps.
Mitts. And I didn't really say it loud enough for them to hear, I don't
they
think.
They absolutely couldn't have heard
but
it.
But instantaneously, some girl
she did
with
it.
Some big...
It was a Jedi mind trick, Freddie.
She wow. just showed me her tatas.
That's great.
They weren't bad either.
They were real and they were spectacular.
Don't let that out. The wise won't let us go on these roads.
Oh, I already told them.
I actually didn't tell Dieter, but not because I wasn't going to.
She
I
looked at me like,
forgot.
Like, why are you telling me what?
Couple unanswered questions from the show. As always, our listeners, there's someone else that out there that
has
the answers. First, Christina Acra. This is
that was quick.
This
really
is
quick.
This is the promo from SC Gridiron Live. Airs Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Throughout the college season, more than 22 million cable and satellite households on the FSN regional networks throughout the SEC territory, Fox Sports South, Sun Sports, Fox Sports Houston, and Fox Sports Southwest. SEC Gridiron Live is hosted by Charles Davis with analyst Randy Cross and Tim Couch and social media host Christina Acra. So she's the social
good for Christina.
Media host.
That sounds like a good little gig.
So she's going to be doing a lot with the Twitter
and her
Twitter. Oh. Wow. See now? That's terrible. Also, Brooklyn Matt has an answer to Andy's He-Man character. It's Ram Man.
Ram Man.
Ram Man is a guy
that's
with no neck
Eric.
Or head mobility because his body from the chest up is all confined in a one-piece armor. And yes, I did have to Google that in contrast to all of my other mind-blowing offerings. Now, just think of all the metal they'd have to forge to fit Andy in one of those with that big noggin of his.
I'm just thinking of the sites that popped up when you Googled Ram Man.
Andy's mic was low in the first part of the show. I was upset I couldn't hear him as clearly as Fred and Paul's. In past years, I would have been happy about Andy being turned down low, but nowadays I've come around. See? Just like the Green Day song says.
Mr. 1330 over here, spreading the knowledge.
Yeah. So that's
really?
Good.
You having arguments with guys about SATs, Tufts boy?
Well, he shouldn't be bragging about it if it's that low.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that's nice to see that Christina is.
It's like
with
Lawrence Maroney, 3.9
SEC.
Last year.
Fred, it would have been nice if we, you know, had that sliding scale for the SAT scores.
Here's where the old guy tells me, oh, that test is flawed.
Back in our day. Like, people weren't throwing around 13, 1400s like. Snapping their fingers
what?
In our day.
People weren't as smart in your day. It's like athletes. They're better athletes now. We're smarter students now.
Scoring changed.
Yeah. You keep telling yourself that.
It is true.
It's like my mom telling me I'm not fat, I'm big boned.
Those tests are culturally biased.
Okay.
A lot of emails. You going to read any?
Ken in New Mexico.
Kenny.
Oh, I like this guy.
He says, so I'm still standing on the prediction I made after the first preseason game that the Patriots will win the AFC East. If anyone beats them for the division title, it will be the Dolphins, not the Jets. I'm going with a 10-6 prediction for the whole year, with as low
that's
as 8-8 if things go poorly, and as good as 12-4 if things go really well.
As low as 8-8? Oh no!
After that rosy prediction, I'd like to ask something more negative. Going off the outside linebacker discussion and how the team has failed in drafting the likes of Crable and others, in your opinion, what has led to so many draft failures in this past year? Past years, is it over expectation from fans, or is it just having so many picks that a wealth of failures are expected, or is it a serious issue? If it is, how did years of decent slash good drafting in the early decade turn sour? Did we lose some of our draft decision makers? Are the kids coming out of college just different and no longer fitting Belichick's needs? What's up? I keep getting a bad feeling that the window is closing because I'm not seeing, outside of personally having huge expectations for Gronkowski, any star potential coming out of our young players. Even Mayo has flattened after a nice rookie season. And by the way, Fred still sucks.
Oh.
I don't think you can underestimate the losses in the scouting department, and the guy I would pinpoint would be Thomas Dimitroff. He's had a lot of success in Atlanta, so there's no reason not to believe he wasn't bringing that knowledge to the table here. And I think he was the director of college scouting.
Yes.
So you have started to have some issues, and maybe that had to do with his departure.
I would agree with that, and I would also add that the Patriots in recent years have been really looking to trade down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, obviously you're picking at a lower level. You can get a lot of players, like the emailer said, but 4 second-rounders, the chances of you getting a guy as good as the first round are small. And I think we tend to look at the volume of the picks and not necessarily where they're taken.
And saying all that, I also think one draft flips it ridiculously one way or the other. One really bad one sets you back a while and is a glaring, and just the same way as if they hit this year and, you know, yeah,
06,
six
07,
of the 12
08.
Are start, you know, it can change really quickly with one good or bad draft.
And this one, I think, is shaping up to be pretty good. I know it's early, and I don't, you know, I know that we're not supposed to analyze them until 3 years go by, but I think you have two tight ends that are going to be pretty good players. I think this is.
I think the cornerback will be fine.
I think McCourty's going to be a pretty
good
player.
They've also missed a little bit on the stud because Merriweather hasn't been a stud. Maroney hasn't been a stud.
I was looking at that. When you look at first round
picks,
and
Mayo hasn't been a stud.
You know, when you look at first round picks, besides Mayo, who have you brought into this team who is going to be like that guy for years to come?
Well, Mayo should have been. He should have been close.
And he still might be.
He still might be. But right now, to me, he's closer to Maroney or Watson, where just an okay pick, than he is to Wilfork and Seymour, which were all pros. You drafted a truly elite player.
Wilfork definitely is on that mold. The guy long term.
Seymour, Wilfork. Yeah. I would even put Mankins as all pro.
Yeah.
Warren to me is that next tier down, and maybe that's Mayo. Maybe Mayo is Warren. He's that guy who starts, has tackles. You don't regret taking him. You just wish he were a little better.
They took took Wilfork at 24, I believe, in 04.
I thought it was 19.
I'll look it up as I'm talking, but I thought it was 24. Aside from Mayo, have they picked a guy as high as 24 since?
They may not have.
Because I'm not sure they have, and that kind of gets to my, you know.
Well, where was Merriweather?
21
20s.
Maroney. Maybe 21 for Merriweather? I think Wilfork was 19.
Wilfork was 21.
21.
Okay.
And Maroney was 21.
Then you went 32, 21, 24 for Merriweather. Obviously 10. No first rounder. And
28. No.
27 from McCourty. So you haven't really picked as high as you
that's
have
true.
Even for
By
Wilfork.
Choice, though.
But, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not. They don't get off the hook for that. That's what they wanted to do.
Right.
But either way, you know, the hits aren't as consistent as maybe they need to be.
Yeah.
The Graham Watson type picks to me aren't hits.
No, they're not hits. They're not
Mankin.
They weren't misses.
They're
hits like Wilfork and Seymour and even Warren.
Right. Right.
Even Warren, I'm wishy-washy on.
Yeah.
I think he's
good.
I think
great.
He and Mayo are very comparable.
If he had come to offseason, he'd be better.
Good,
Preston
from
Brockton says, "Hey guys, just wanted to say I noticed they brought my boy Crable back. Look out, Dallas. Here we come. What do you really think our chances are now? To be honest, I'm soiling my pants. I'm very concerned about this team, and we haven't even played a game yet. What are your thoughts?" Well, I think we've been talking about it for the last 2 hours.
I wish I had something to base my optimism on.
That's going to be the quote most associated with you, Fred.
I have no problem with it. I'm an optimistic kind of guy, and I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic.
Yeah, you better hope Mr. Kraft doesn't come by today, then.
Todd, Nova Scotia, do you guys think it's weird?
Yes.
McKenzie, a third-round pick, made it through waivers. Do you think the knees scared teams off, or did the Pats pay him extra to stick around on our practice squad instead of going somewhere else?
That's not legal.
Yes, it is. You can do whatever deal you want, I think.
No, if you go through waivers, you're available to everyone. If they claim you, you have to go to them. You can't turn down waivers.
Oh, really?
He's asking why he made it through waivers.
Okay. Oh,
My guess is it's a combination of injury and lack of playing.
Anyway, this year's practice squad is shaping up very odd from the way it looked in years past.
I also think that the whole practice squad thing, I think, is highly overrated. Like, can you get so-and-so through waivers? I think every year we say that, and every year you see 5, 6, 7 guys league-wide get claimed off of waivers.
But Welch got claimed.
Yeah, that's not impossible. I just don't think that it's as hard. I mean, Larson did, too.
Think
he stinks?
They both did.
Tampa Bay.
Really?
Ted Larson. I think Minnesota got Welch, right?
Yeah, Minnesota got Welch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you run the risk. I'm not saying it's impossible. A lot, you know, we've claimed the guy off waivers in Steve Mineri. You're going to lose guys through waivers, but I don't think it's as difficult to, you know, let's cross our fingers and hope.
But a third-round pick is relatively high 2 years ago.
I just don't think it's that hard to get guys through waivers.
William from
Benditson,
North Carolina, says there's been a number of debates about recent Pats draft philosophy.
stockpiling, selecting more picks, players versus trading quantity for quality. Given the releases over the weekend and the ability of the Jets to not only trade up repeatedly, but to also lock up their key players to high-dollar contracts, I think the debate is over. Over the last few years, drafting a bunch of marginal players in later rounds has left the Pats with very few younger difference makers on either side of the ball. So, I mean, so what if the Jets don't make the playoffs this year?
But you're looking at the two tight ends as the only younger playmakers on the offensive side of the ball.
Maybe Tate.
You know.
I look at him as a playmaker on special teams.
He plays a lot on offense. He's going to have
some
opportunities.
I don't think he's going to make a lot of plays, though.
Let's see. Dave writes in.
It's not negative.
Butler? Not a playmaker?
He would be one of the few on defense.
He thinks that Gronkowski should be a linebacker because he's 6'4", runs a 4'6", 250, prototypical linebacker size.
Maybe he's playing both ways.
He his feet are too slow. Slow first step. I don't think he's got quickness. I don't know what his number was.
So yeah, I mean, he is kind
of a
plotter.
His feet look like somebody tied cement blocks to him.
And I'm sure there was a little tongue-in-cheek aspect to that email, too.
Action.
Let's see. Michael says some disastrous reality TV appearances by PFW got him thinking. I pictured Eric going down this line of questioning during Bill Belichick's next press conference. Bill, Jimmy Johnson is appearing on Survivor. If he could consider, would you consider appearing on Survivor?
He's already been asked that.
Yeah, Eric didn't ask it.
No.
Okay. And it wouldn't go well.
I saw an interview with Jimmy Johnson about it.
Has it started?
It's like the hardest thing he's ever done in his life. And
really?
Ridiculously hard. Because he was glad he did it, but he'd never do it again. It was ridiculously hard and uncomfortable.
But has it started?
I don't know. Probably not, because it probably starts in September. Isn't it like the September when they have all
no
the premieres?
I've never watched it.
For
we'll
the
never
TV?
Will watch
no,
it.
I'm just talking about TV in general.
I don't watch TV.
Don't be such a snob.
When we hear him cackling to the office. Oh,
I watched The Hard Knocks.
The Hard Knocks. Is that done or is there one more?
One more.
One Wednesday?
More. It's going to have the big Revis reunite, you know.
And they're all
but is
hot dogs on the field this week.
Oh, yeah. They had stuff in last show that was like the night before happened. So it was perfect for HBO
this year.
They hit a home run this year.
I thought they stopped filming when camp was over. That's all.
No.
Okay.
Now they hit a home run. They couldn't have asked for anything more perfect. The big story, resolves itself in the last week.
It's the perfect combination of a contending team with a very personable, charismatic coach. Even if you hate him, you have to say he's entertaining.
Right.
And it's irrelevant in a big, huge, relevant market. It's a home run.
Yep. Next year, who are they going to get? Seattle?
Pete? Well, you know,
I'm wondering when it's going to stop. When they can't get a team to agree to do it.
Yeah. Guys, today officially starts our in-season programming schedule, which means not only are we here from 12 to 2 today, we'll be here from 12 to 2 tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, and that'll be it for the rest of the season unless, you know, things happen and we're not. But for the most part, we're now back
to our...
Do you
know something?
We're back, well, you know, you get
the occasional Monday.
Yeah, you get the Monday night games where it's Patriots Monday on a Tuesday with EEI. But anyway, for the most part...
Or we get fired because of our
TV show. We'll be here now...
That's more what I was talking about.
We'll be here 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 12 to 2, which we hope people think is good news.
It's usually 12 to 1:55, but...
But that also means that the rest of the schedule starts up, and on the phone right now from his mother's basement is John Rook. John, how you doing?
Excellent, Fred. How are you?
Good. How did you like that crossover? Was that
It
good?
Was a perfect, you know what, like a broadcast professional.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the standards have gone down these days, I guess.
Really?
So, John, how you doing? How was your off season?
Boring without football.
Really?
Well, you know, I mean, you guys go through it. I mean, at least a little bit, I know, during the off season. You can't wait for the season to get here. You can't wait for... You know, training camp
That's
to
funny.
Get here. You can't wait for any kind of football news to come around. So now that it's here, what do we have? It's back to business as usual. You know, we got Tom Brady rumors and Randy Moss crying about being unappreciated.
Well, while we were on the show, did anything new happen with that Brady?
In fact, no. I just was looking at an ESPN report, and they're citing multiple sources that say that no deal has been struck with Brady.
Well, it hasn't been struck, but no one said it had been struck. It said it was imminent. Are they poo-pooing that, too?
Yes, they're poo-pooing that.
All right, John, we have a problem.
What's up?
You know that Fred Kirsch is the ultimate Patriots homer. Well, he made a statement earlier in the show that he is looking for a reason to be optimistic.
There just aren't any.
He just can't find any.
That's not what I said. We were talking specifically about
you?
Outside linebacker, John. I'm very optimistic about this team. It's offense. It's coaching. Special teams. I just have a problem right now with the defense.
You guys are setting me up here.
No, we're not. Not at all.
Well, let me guess, Fred. First of all. May I guess as to how you feel? I know Fred's the eternal optimist, and that's fine. There has to be one in every group. That's perfectly all right. But Andy and Paul,
yes.
I'm going to guess you guys are leaning more towards the pessimistic side of things. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I picked 10-6.
Woo, that's actually optimistic for you.
What do you mean? Yeah, I had 13-3 last year.
Well, but this is not last year.
No, I know. So you're making it sound like 10-6. I don't think is
guys.
All that
I read when the before the year started, and this is the God's honest truth. Before the year started, I thought looked at the schedule and I thought, well, you know what? If they keep everybody healthy, I think 10-6 is possible. And so I actually thought, all right, 10-6 is probably as good as any. But then you lose Ty Warren, and then
Lee Bowie.
Yeah, you lose all
Lee
the other people.
Brandon McGowan.
McGowan you lose, which is I think is going to be a huge blow to this team, and certainly the depth in the secondary. My thought now is I think they'll be fortunate to be 9-7.
Okay,
that's what I think, and I think I'm 9-7 could still end up in the playoffs.
I'm leaning towards your side, John, and I actually think we've talked about this a lot on our show throughout the offseason. I think this Bengals game is huge, and I think if they lose and or get embarrassed defensively this week by the Bengals offense, I think 9-7 might be even a reach at
that
point.
Well, that's what obviously John thinks the same way. He said,
I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Nine and seven,
if you make the playoffs, to me, who cares?
Well, I think John's right, because you know how I've kind of cut ties with the Jets and those cheeseburger-eating idiots on the practice field. I think you could end up with a .500 record very close there winning this AFC.
Just turns out to be the most overrated element of the 2010 NFL season is the AFC East.
Yes, I agree.
I gotta be right there with you. But if you'll excuse me, Seven, I gotta go have a bleeping snack.
All right. Well, John,
well done.
As he has for the last 25 years, John will be standing by with Patriots
now.
Playbook,
like
and he'll be with you until 4 o'clock. We'll see you tomorrow.